Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Today, take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. Take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Meeting of the chair, the ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
That was House Speaker, allegedly Republican, John Boehner, who was the chairman of the RNC convention in Tampa, and that was him reading from a teleprompter, passing the rules proposed by the Rules Committee, which was taken over by Romney operative Ben Ginsburg, and destroys the grassroots. And Speaker Boehner, if you think we're going to put up with this crap, you got another thing coming. Good evening. You are live with Tex and Rex. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, where just across the Potomac, 16 Republican senators just voted for cloture on a gun restriction bill which they have not read, and that is most assuredly going to pass a Democratic-controlled House. They basically failed you, or not even really failed you, they screwed you over. So we got lots of problems. We got 16 rhino senators that have just abdicated their responsibility to represent their states and their constituents in defending the Constitution. And we just wrapped up the RNC spring meeting in Los Angeles, California, Hollywood, I think it was specifically, where there were some votes on the rules, chiefly Rule 16. There's that number again. So while you're out there in radio land focusing on 2016, keep in mind that in Virginia and New Jersey and Massachusetts and a couple other places, we've got elections in 2013, and then the 2014 midterms come first. But that 16 number is pretty important because there are 16 asshats in the Senate who pretend to be Republicans that are about to violate the Constitution, well, they've already violated it, and take away your guns. And we've got this Rule 16, which destroys the voice of the grassroots in the Republican Party, essentially making it a top-down structure. And that is precisely what doesn't win elections, doesn't further conservatism, doesn't respect conservatives, libertarians, and other grassroots, and most people don't know anything about it. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Tex will be coming on shortly. He was on special assignment, but he'll be here in a moment. And, of course, we'll always be joined by Captain Caveman from Coalition of Freedom. Before we get into this, I just want to tell everybody, thank you for listening. You are our only support. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. Without you, nobody would know about the show. So we count on you to share it on Facebook, tweet it out, post it, let people know about it, and keep us informed of the things that are important to grassroots, because we are all about conservatism, not necessarily the Republican Party. However, put your big girl panties on and accept the fact that until you change the rules at the state level, alternate parties have no shot at the federal level. So, you know, whether you like it or not, the elephant is your best hope, because the donkey doesn't give a crap about you. Unfortunately, the elephant is infested with rhinoism, and it is your job to expunge the rhino virus. Please go to our Facebook page, The Tex and Rex Show. Hit the like button. You will get notifications in your newsfeed when we are broadcasting and other relevant information. And if you're in Blog Talk Radio, you can listen to all the archive shows. They're right there on the Tex and Rex Show page. And right below the show icon, you can click follow, and you will get notifications in your Blog Talk Radio profile and affiliated email. And you can also right-click the download link below the show graphics and get an MP3 of the show that you can listen to yourself in your car, in your iPad, iPod, whatever. And you can also burn a CD or send it in an email to somebody who may not know that the Romney campaign essentially destroyed the Republican Party in Tampa. So before we get into it, little boys and girls, I'm going to give you a little update here on what happened in Los Angeles. In fact, I'm going to play you a clip here of Morton Blackwell. Now, Mr. Morton Blackwell is a longtime Republican. He started in the party when he was a delegate for Barry Goldwater in 64. This is not, well, I guess he could be considered an original Paul Bott, since Goldwater was kind of the original Ron Paul, but he's not a Paul Bott. He's a pretty establishment Reagan Republican. And he doesn't like these rules. In fact, in Tampa, he was supposed to be at the rules meeting, but somehow, interestingly enough, his bus with an armed guard went from his hotel to the convention center three times before it dropped him off, and by the time he got there, the rules meeting was over. Interesting, no? Mr. Blackwell is RNC committee man from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and this is him making a motion in the rules committee meeting at the RNC spring meeting.
There has been an enormous outrage over certain things which happened at the Tampa Convention, and which were evidenced by the enormous opposition to the adoption of the rules by the convention, the rules that were reported by the convention rules committee. There is, and every person in this room is aware of it, still an enormous unrest over this. In my judgment, I've been frank to say it was a power grab by Ben Ginsburg, who accurately described himself as the Romney campaign leader on the Convention Rules Committee. And there is considerable outrage. And we have, I believe, here an opportunity to demonstrate to grassroots people that we want to join the Republican Party, that we reject this matter of power grab. And so that's what my proposal would do. I've handed out to you a multi-page thing here which includes the text of the rule changes as the rules would read from what they are now, going back to the provisions that were adopted unanimously by the Republican National Committee the day before the Rules Committee meeting. I think a clear break, a clear repudiation of what was done there is important. Many, many people have described what was happening as an outrage. It's been described as a travesty. There's hardly a negative term that hasn't been described, haven't used to describe it. And we have the opportunity to pass this resolution. And then, after we have passed it, those elements of the rules which were changed, which are not objectionable, can easily be added onto the rules, so we do not lose any of the good work of the Convention Rules Committee. But I think we need a clear demonstration to the grassroots people we want in our party that we are not in favor of concentrating power. We want power to flow from the bottom up. We want to treat newcomers fairly, politely, and where possible, cordially. And I think this needs to be done. And we've all received a lot of emails on it. I've also had distributed to you a letter dated April 8th for us that is signed by 64 conservative movement leaders, starting off with Ed Meese and including Grover Norquist and Phyllis Schlafly and many others who are historic supporters of the Republican Party. They see that this is important. I believe we should take this opportunity to come out of this convention saying we have done something constructive and the Republican Party welcomes newcomers. And this is our opportunity to do it. And I urge you, please, to do this. Chairman Priebus has told me that he would support a record vote on my proposal, and I'm going to request a record vote on this so that we all have an opportunity to express ourselves and so that everybody can know how we vote on this matter of repudiating the power grabs that took place in Tampa. Thank you.
All right, sorry about the bad audio. It appears that the Republican Party is not too keen on having these meetings recorded, broadcast, or any other information going out, but we've got some liberty-minded activists who have been providing reportage and audio and video, and that video, by the way, is on YouTube, and you can find it on the Tex and Rex show page if you click there, or Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia if you join the group. Basically, what Mr. Blackwell was saying was that Ben Ginsburg, who is an attorney, part of the CLEC, what Pat Caddell calls a CLEC, that's the Consultant, Lobbyist, and Establishment Complex, and a Romney operative, basically with the assistance of John Cryptkeeper Sununu, managed to take over the Rules Committee, and then John crying, tan, useless, peef, jerky, Boehner, you know, read off the teleprompter that the rules were adopted without objection, even though more than half the entire convention objected. And these rules essentially wipe out the opportunity for grassroots to be involved in picking the candidate for president for the Republican Party. Now, we're not talking about the presidential election because we've got 2013 and midterms before that, but keep in mind that the top of the ticket has a huge impact on down-ballot tickets. So, you know, Senate and House seats are part of this program. So it is a very important thing. Chiefly, the problem rules are 12, 16, and 40. Now, 12 and 40 were not addressed at this meeting, but 16 was. And, you know, we're going to be talking about that tonight. And, of course, we've got the usual culprits, including my co-host Tex, who will be shooting along shortly. In the meantime, though, we have a great guest of the show. Trog, you are live with Rex. How you doing?
I wonder if that's how people really see me.
As Captain Caveman? You carry that club around.
You know, yeah, no kidding. And of course, what I post half the time, you know, when I'm on a when I'm on a roll. You haven't got a hold of Morton Blackwell yet?
I didn't know I was supposed to get a hold of him.
Oh, I just think it would be interesting to get his perspective of why. Now, my understanding is that there was a success and a failure on 16. There was like two parts of it.
Yeah, well, there's lots of parts of Rule 16, but it was basically parts 16A1 and 16A2 that were discussed. There was a failure, and there was a less severe failure, I guess we could say.
Yeah, right.
Basically, Rule 16A1 was the one that was to be addressed. Blackwell wasn't really focusing on that. Blackwell was basically proposing that the 2012 rules as adopted be completely rescinded and reverted back to the adopted rules from 2008. So that was his focus. So he wanted the rules, which is basically what the rules were for the 2012 convention, and adopted and changed there. Now generally, the rules are changed by the convention of all the delegates every 4 years. The new rules allow for changes intra-convention, provided that 75% of the committee people vote on it. And, you know, that's kind of dangerous, because basically you're talking here about three committee people from each state and jurisdiction who now have this power to change the rules, whereby when you had your conventions, it's all the delegates combined and all the state delegations. So it was a larger body, a larger voice. This really concentrates things. The liberty-minded folks and the real conservatives are trying to use this new paradigm with these new Ginsburg rules to change it back. So it's kind of ironic that the shitty rules adopted in Tampa are the ones that are being used now to take it back to normal. But, you know, the rhinos don't want this. They despise it. They're standing against it. So Mr. Blackwell's motion, which we just heard in the audio clip, was to revert back to the 2008 rules as adopted. And then he said the good things that were done in Tampa could then be added back in after you revert. Well, the rules committee voted 25-28 against, and his resolution never made it out of committee to be considered by all 168 committee people. So that's what happened there. And I think one of the votes, basically two votes, right? One of the two votes was Ada Fisher. I forget where she's from. Could be North Carolina. I'm not sure. But apparently she voted against Blackwell's resolution. But when she spoke beforehand, she said that she'd received hundreds of emails from delegates and her constituents telling her to revert the rules. But she said that she hadn't familiarized herself enough with them and doesn't know what the problem is. And I suspect that that's true for a lot of these committee people. They just get elected part of the club, and they're tasked with this thing, and so they think they can go eat the good food and go to the hotel. They don't know what the hell is going on. If you don't know what the hell is going on with the rules, and you don't know what the problem is, and you don't know how it affects the grassroots, and you don't know how it loses elections, what the hell are you doing as a committee person? And this proves something to all of you.
Yeah.
Show up at the damn meetings, because otherwise they're going to keep electing the next idiot in line to come up with this shit. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just had a couple things pop into my head as you were talking. One was most of these people were at Tampa, right? I mean, all your senior committee people were in Tampa. We haven't had new elections since then, right?
Yeah, they were at Tampa.
So they were there.
Yep.
So they knew what the hell went on. And so somehow there is a dialogue going into people's minds about And who knows if it was just the absolute fear of Ron Paul and his movement. People, I'm not sure. I guess that's why it would be really interesting to get somebody, you know, Willis and Blackwell on and have a conversation with these guys and try to understand the thinking behind this, because if we don't understand what they fear, we won't understand how to change hearts and minds, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I mean,
because right now we're just looking at them as the, you know, they're the enemy and we're the good guys, and that's just a conflict environment. What is it going to take to change them? How do we change it? When are the next elections coming up in the states? How do you replace these people who, basically just kiss the ring, the Priebus or the Boehner ring and say, okay, yes, sir, I'll do what you tell me to do, sir, versus getting people in there can actually think for themselves, who understand, maybe have read the Constitution, people like that. So we can get some people to start at the local levels to start building better coalitions of people right up to who we choose to run as candidates. Because I know the conversation going on right now into 2014, here and there, some people are not running again. They're retiring. You got Rhinos, who's going to run against them. There's a gal coming up against Lindsey Graham that hadn't been in politics before, but she has a pretty healthy resume and educational background and things that she's done in her life. And you go, wow, could we actually get a human being to replace this phony? Because that's really, it won't take many seats in the House and Senate replacing these Rhinos to actually have some good news out of these meetings, because the disappointment coming out of the House and Senate is disheartening as hell. The Democrats have got to be just laughing all the way to the bank every time Republicans capitulate on constitutional issues. It's just disgusting.
I don't know that it's disgusting. It's obviously disgusting, but I don't know that the Democrats are necessarily laughing about it, because let's face it, they don't represent their constituents either. This is just, corporatist Keynesian douchebags masquerading as, two opposing parties. It's really a friggin' farce. We're a little fired up tonight, so we're going to get into all this stuff. Sometimes it's easy to get bogged down in the weeds of the rules and what's going on, but here's a simple fact, and this is what you have to accept. We've got the Republican Party and the Democrat Party at the national level. That's it. Now, that needs to change, okay? But it's not going to change in 2014. It's not going to change in 2016. It's going to take time to change it, and you're going to have to do it by taking over the state houses. So in the meantime, accept the fact that you have to deal with the Republican Party if you want good candidates to be in the federal government. People like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Justin Amash, Mike Lee, you're going to have to work with the Republicans. Now, we're getting a little fired up tonight, and Trog, we're joined by my illustrious co-host.
Cool.
Tex is here, so let's open up his line. Tex, you're live with Chris and Rex.
Hey, guys. Sorry for dialing in late. Got tied up with something, but thanks for kicking it off for us. Yes, a little disappointing on the vote, particularly you have RNC members saying that, oh, well, I got all these tweets and all these emails about this thing, but I didn't have time to, read this and figure out what the issue is. Boy, really? When did you get these emails and tweets? How long ago? You didn't bother to look it up, or you didn't talk to anybody on the committee? You just got them and like, oh, that's interesting, huh? I think I'll do nothing about that. So, that's great. But this comes to the issue of organizational decline, where organizations start out really good. They usually have some sort of secondary leader who creates an organization that is very successful, and then that person eventually dies. And the sort of second in command take over, and they're very stay the course. Let's not make any real changes here because everything's successful. And then by the time you get to the third and fourth generations, nobody knows what the organization is about, why it was formed. And it becomes a big social group about, baking pies and hanging out, feeling good about yourself. You got the so-and-so award named after so-and-so who's actually famous and good, and you are a, fourth tier fifth generation douchebag loser who doesn't know anything that's going on. And thus your organization begins to decline because there is a clamor in the case of many organizations, in this case the Republican Party, from the next generation to effect real change, do something with this organization that's dying, and the old guard starts fighting it off because it took them a long time to get where they are. Even though they're not doing anything, they certainly hate the next generation that's coming along and actually doing things to change the party and make it successful. From their point of view, that could be actually worse because it proves that they actually sucked at their jobs if they let the next group of people through and they actually took it somewhere, you know, and kind of prove how terrible they were. So not overall surprised at the results, but, you know, the battle has just begun. It is good to see that about on Rule 16, about a third of the people there voted against it. So I think that shows, you know, pretty healthy about a skepticism, particularly if you figure that about a third voted against it, a third were probably for it, and then you had maybe a third of people didn't even know what the hell was going on in the first place. So overall, you know, I think that's positive for our first round on trying to get things changed at the RNC level, particularly if you consider what a state sort of environment that has become ossified and non-revolutionary in the sense of looking at new ideas and how to transform things. The problem is that same mindset is penetrating all throughout the party, which is that, oh, we need to get better branding, and also we need to get better constituents because we hate our constituents.
That's an absolute canard because, you know, they've got constituents, they've got activists coming in, and they're just crapping all over them. We got a little feedback on your line, so hopefully we can you can work on that. But the Blackwell resolution would have been great. That would have taken us back to 08 rules, and then the grassroots would have their voice again, and then it would be up to us to do the heavy lifting and the work. Obviously, that didn't get out of committee, principally because there are obviously idiots there who aren't qualified. I mean, I don't care if you got the tweets or the emails before you went to the convention to change it or whatever. What are you doing as an RNC committee woman if you don't know what the hell the rules are? I mean, if all these morons do is go ask Priebus or Ginsburg or some other douchebag, what does it mean? And then just take their word for it instead of actually understanding it, we got a problem. Obviously, Mr. Blackwell reads the rules. He understands the rules. He has the experience, and he despises the rules. And he is a perfect example of how this is not about Ron Paul. Okay, this is not about Ron Paul. This is not about the Liberty Movement. This is about the Republican Party. If the Republican Party, which is just an organization, okay, you might hate rhinos. I friggin' hate rhinos. Okay, I don't hate the Republican Party. It's just an organization. I could care less about the Republican Party. It's just an organization. It just happens to be the organization that we can use to advance authentic conservatism with libertarian economics and libertarian politics, okay? So that's the point. So, you know, don't get hung up that this is about Ron Paul. It's not. It's about this party actually giving a voice to its membership. This would be just as true in the Democrat Party. But I care less about the Democrat Party than the Republican Party because those guys are all a bunch of fucking socialists. So here's the thing. That motion failed, okay? So then I believe it was Jeff Johnson, Minnesota delegation, put a resolution through, okay, for the deletion, to delete Rule 16A1. Rex, what's 16A1? It's about binding and allocation. 16A1 reads, and you can look it up, you know, the adopted rules, and it's on our page, any statewide presidential preference vote that permits a choice among candidates to the Republican nomination for President of the United States in a primary, caucuses, or a state convention must be used to allocate and bind the state's delegation to the national convention in either a proportional or winner-take-all manner, except for delegates and alternate delegates who appear on a ballot in a statewide election and are elected directly by primary voters. Rex, what does that mean? Well, it pretty much means that we're democratizing what is supposed to be a parliamentary procedure. That means that we're throwing the net out to all primary voters. Now, some states have open primaries. I happen to like that because I don't want to join a stupid party, and I get to vote in the primary that I like. Some states don't have open primaries. You have to belong to the party. Now, if there's an open primary and you don't have rules in place, then douchebag Democrats can come in and vote for Rick Santorum because he's fucking unelectable in order to derail electable Newt Gingrich. Okay, so there is a problem there, okay, which is why ultimately if the states were smart, they wouldn't have a primary. You would have conventions and caucuses where people who actually know what's going on and who know the candidates and know whether they're conservatives, libertarians, liberals, or what have you, would go as informed and active people to select the nominee. Now, obviously, when we're electing someone to the office of the president, everybody who's eligible should get to vote for their elector, who will then elect the president. But a primary doesn't have to be open to everybody, and that's what these people are saying. They're throwing the wide net out. Why are they doing that? Because most people don't know dick, and so they do what the television tells them to do, what Fox News and MSNBC and all that other stuff tells them to do, so they're easy to manipulate, which is precisely what these rules are forcing. They're giving the candidate with the most money, the most name recognition, like, oh, I don't know, Bush 3, okay, or Clinton 2. Whoever has the most money and the most name recognition is going to win these stupid beauty contests. And these rules were allegedly put in place in order to do away with beauty contests. Well, why don't you just do away with beauty contests and just have caucuses and conventions where people who know what's what go and elect delegates who can then go to convention and make informed decisions about who should be the best nominee. So,
you mean a Republican process?
That would be friggin' crazy, wouldn't it, instead of a Democratic process? So we've got the you know the this rule 16A1 and Jeff Johnson spoke well got the committee to vote on it and to delete it, and that vote passed overwhelmingly 39-20. That's pretty good. So it got out of committee, which means that particular chunk right there would have just been removed from the rules. But then, of course, Priebus made sure that when it went into the the RNC at large, it failed 107-49. That means that only 10 of the people outside of the Rules Committee were in favor of it. How dicked up is that?
Yeah, we'll have a war inside the party. Sorry, Tex.
And the thing, hopefully the feedback problem is fixed, but the thing is, what they're counting on is people to stay at home, not get involved, and be involved only to the extent that they show up on election day and they complain about it for the next 4 years. But overall, just do what they're told and let the primaries, speak, and then the RNC, they control who are the acceptable opposition, the acceptable level of candidates. If you want to vote for one of the unacceptable candidates, don't worry. We will absolutely sabotage, their chances on television long before the primary starts. So, don't worry about that. So this comes down to empowering the leadership to determine essentially who the candidate is going to be, and the party has already proven that it's for sale and you can buy it. And not only that, it's for sale to even liberal Democrat candidates like Mitt Romney who come up. So they'll sell out to anyone. And, it really comes down to a disdain for the grassroots because they consider, oh, our grassroots is dangerous and they're too radical. I don't think the Democrat Party feels that way about their grassroots, and look at all the stuff, they have been enacting over the past 50 years. So, oh, okay, well, this is great. And the Republican Party just wants to be the Me Too Party, and the people who would stand in the way of it being a Me Too Party, they want to get rid of so that they can become a carbon copy of the Democrats. Changing these rules is essential to saving the Republican Party from itself. It just had a major shot in the arm fusion of the next generation, the next sort of wave of political activism across the nation trying to come into the party and basically shut it down. And they talk about, oh, yeah, this is like those 60s radicals trying to get to the Democrat Party back then. Yeah, well, look at where the Democrat Party is today. Who's running it? And now you're telling all these people to go away. Well, who's going to be running the Republican Party, 20, 30 years from now? Nobody, because it's not going to exist, because it just had another shot or a new shot to incorporate, you know, a next generation, get some new blood into the organization, and it decided, no, no, we don't want that.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that this is not, you know, the new right like the new left, okay? These are not pot-smoking sodomites, all right? These are Ron Paul liberty folks. What does that mean? It means that for the most part, they're conservative Republicans who we label as libertarians because the traditional Republican has moved so far to the fucking left that they're to the left of John F. Kennedy. That's why you're freaked out by these people. These new – now, I'm not talking about Gary Johnson libertarians with a big L. I'm talking about Ron Paul, Rand Paul libertarian Republicans. These people resemble the old right from which Goldwater and Reagan came far more than this new neocon cleck right. And so they should be embraced. But whether you like them or not, or whether you like, you know, the religious right or not, or whether you like, you know, strong national defense people or not, I'm not talking about neocon adventurism, I'm talking about national strong national defense, is sort of not the point. The point is, if you're going to respect the Constitution and respect federalism, as Chris clearly said, you need to have a Republican, small r, process to elect people and respect the rules. That's where this really, you know, comes down is you know, what are you going to do? Now we're pointing things out here, okay? And we're pissed. And if you're not pissed, what the hell's wrong with you? Because this isn't about saving the elephants. This isn't about feeling good about your political activism so people can see what a great person you are with your button and your Gadsden flag or whatever the fuck you're holding. This is about the country. Because if you don't fix this and you don't actually have an opposition to the democratic socialists, Marxism is going to reign supreme in this country for the next 40 years. And like the Soviet Union, we're not going to survive it. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. So if this doesn't piss you off, I don't know how patriotic or even American you really are. So you better get your head on right. You know, so why are we pointing these things out? Just so that we can bitch and complain? Well, a lot of people do that. No, we're pointing these things out because if you're going to fix something, the first thing you have to do, and Chris will tell you this because he's got a lot of strategic organizational experience, and so does Tex, the first thing you have to do is identify the problem. Because if you don't know what the problem is, then you don't know how the hell to fix it. So identify the problem, and then you come up with solutions. And some of them will work, and some of them won't. And you keep trying. You have until September 2014 to get these rules fixed. Now, obviously, we have the midterms in November 2014. So if you wait till September 2014 to get these things fixed, you might be fucked in 30 days if you're trying to win an election. So that's a serious problem. And you say, oh, but these rules only affect the presidential election. 2014 is midterms. Are you, as a grassroots activist, especially if you're – really conservative, or if you're new blood, new Ron Paul-inspired blood, and this party owes more than it can ever thank Ron Paul for bringing these people to the Republican Party. Are you going to do any of the hard work, the door knocking, the fundraising, the you know, writing to the editor and all that kind of stuff that grassroots do? If you think that your voice in regards to who's going to be at the top of the ticket in 2016 doesn't matter, probably not. Probably not. So there's another meeting this year, and then there's three next year before September. And what we need to do is start hammering these people now, not the 2 days before they're going to wherever the next meeting is, now. And we're going to call them out by name. And I want you to harass the shit out of the one. I'm not talking about physically or, you know, emails, tweets, phone calls. Harass the shit out of them and tell them that this is not acceptable. Now, we've got some you know, really good people who've been helping, A.J. Spiker, Ashley Ryan, Mark Willis, obviously Morton Blackwell. These people have been working hard. There's even, you know, more people who may not be Ron Paul folks, but and Morton Blackwell isn't one, but I hear the names Nicole Ambrose, Steve Monasteri, Steve Scheffler, Curly Hogland. These are people who stood up for these things, including, from what I understand, and if anybody out there has more updated information or you were there, call in. The guest number is 646 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Hit me up in the Facebook chat and let me know what your area code is. But even that guy from Nevada, James Smack, who was basically converted by Priebus at the last minute to make him chair, he even stood up, and from what I understand, at potential political cost to talk about how these rules need to be changed. So we've got people who are doing this stuff. Then you got people like Ada Fisher who just, you know, don't know their head from their ass and shouldn't be a committee woman. So, you know, that's what we're facing, guys. And I don't know. I'm pissed, but I'm optimistic
She was chairman of the pie-baking committee in her state, and therefore she was selected to be on the RNC because she baked so many pies. That's why she's there. It's like, what? This rule change doesn't involve pies. I don't know anything that doesn't involve pies. That's why she's there. Seriously, this thing's like half social club. But, you know, the leadership, they are going to be hell-bent if you don't start getting involved and people don't start talking to their leaders, their local leaders of the Republican Party about what's going on. I mean, this party's going to ram Jeb Bush down your throat in 2016. Let me tell you, there is no way in hell Jeb Bush should be the death of the Republican Party. I tell you that right now. You know, that would just be the end of it. And first, he can't beat Hillary Clinton anyway. And then you're going to have Bush run against Clinton. How many times have we been repeating this train wreck of an election, of Bush versus Clinton? It's a disaster. You know, these parties are turning into – our parties are turning into monarchies. It's almost like we have a dual monarchy. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so you really need to be impressing upon the leadership that, you know, hey, we're the grassroots. We don't like where this party's going. We need to go back in this direction. You guys have gone too far in the wrong direction because the party's going to implode. If they pick Jeb Bush, I mean, I really think it's over for the GOP as a political organization. And that will absolutely split the party, I think.
Chris? You there?
We've lost Chris. But the next thing we need to focus on is 2014.
Sorry,
there you are.
I was on mute. No, hey, Tex, can you hang up and call back in? Your signal's been waffly ever since you've been on.
Yeah, well, sorry, I'm in my car, and I'm almost home, so yes, I can't do that.
Okay. It's just really bad. No, I totally agree. And I, you know, you guys, well, at least Tex is much more astute when it comes to how the party works inside the party. I'm not a party guy. I just think that, you know, from the outside, looking at this stuff and looking at the strategies of, you know, what's coming up in 2014. Of course, Rex, you were talking about there's some actual elections in 2013. But, you know, you got to ask yourself, what's the goal? Well, do you want to give Obama the House and Senate? Or do you not want to have Obama to have the House and Senate? You know, that's one thing you got to look at. And then second goal in 2016, you got to go, do you want Jeb Bush to lose to Hillary Clinton? I mean, that's pretty simple stuff right there, folks. You know, you don't have, you don't have to be a party guy to figure that stuff out. So, you know, there's going to be a big field, I would assume that, you know, it'd be Hillary and a couple other people, as long as her health holds up. She looks pretty rough lately. But we're going to have a bunch of people hit the ground in the Republican Party. And, of course, third parties will field somebody that will get a couple million votes, you know, down the road at the end of the day. But this is serious stuff. I personally don't, you know, I look at 2014 and I say this is important. And if these idiots don't even understand the rules and what happened in Tampa and what these rules mean, then you need to get down there and actually replace them and put your name on the ballot and get voted in, because it's pretty scary to think that this radical of a shift and corrupt event that happened to RNC, if that doesn't wake you up as somebody who's supposed to be responsible to your local party or your state party, you don't have a flipping clue. You need to go back to selling pies, you know, baking and selling pies. It's ridiculous. I totally agree, Tex. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Hopefully I sound a lot better. I didn't hang up, but I'm not in my car anymore. So, But, yeah, the leadership, if you're not paying attention to what's going on, if you don't understand that these changes were put in place specifically by the Romney campaign in order to seal the deal for Romney to win in the party that didn't want him against the base that never wanted him in the first place, then, you know, what are you doing? How, you know, who are these RNC members who weren't even paying as much attention as we were? I mean, what were they doing during the election? What they were doing is watching Fox News and listening to Karl Rove tell them what's going on, and they were believing that, you know, I don't know if you guys were listening on election day, but election morning I was driving into work and, you know, heard the that guy on Fox News, I think he was talking with Hannity or something, I can't remember, and he's yelling, hold the line, hold the line. Oh, no, I was driving home, that's what it was. And he was yelling, hold the line, about people, you know, at the voting booth and all this kind of stuff. So listening to this stuff, thinking that this is real. And none of that was true. None of that was actually happening. You know, and so you have people who are voting on what the actual rules of the party are, who aren't even aware of what's going on inside the party. You know, where do these rule changes come from? Why are these rule changes coming up? What is the history of this rule? They didn't know that all over the summer. We were talking about the history of delegates and that they were independent agents and all this kind of stuff, and the party's always insisted that, going back to 1954, and we were reading from the transcript of the discussions of the Rules Committee back then. You know, and what are these people doing? And they're committee people? You know, that's an organizational problem. You have uninformed people making bad decisions, and it's killing the party.
Well, look, it's the 80-20 rule, Tex. You know, I mean, in any organization, 80% are dead weight, and 20% get things done. Of course, in the Republican Party right now, that 20% is made up of conservative and libertarian grassroots and a bunch of CLEC operatives, and so that's where the real war is. The rest of them are, you know, they're just going to go along with whoever wins. And most of them, you know, don't have two dendrites to cause a spark in their brain. I mean, just think about it. It's like anything else, any other type of, you know, corporate structure. People tend to fail upwards, okay? You know, so just because someone has a position doesn't mean they know their head from their ass. And I'm not saying they're not nice people. I'm not saying that they are not really conservative. I'm not saying that they don't really want to win elections with people who will govern well. But I'm just saying they don't have the capacity to understand the parliamentary procedures, the rules. They don't understand the ulterior motives of certain people, so they take people at face value. I mean, if you talk to Rince Pubic and you listen to him, seems like a nice guy, you know, certainly has nice cigars and whiskey in his penthouse, so we enjoyed that very much when we were in Tampa. But you know, he's very conciliatory towards liberty folks and talk about, you know, inclusion and all this kind of stuff.
Rhetorically,
but
conciliatory.
Yeah,
right.
But in truth, this dickhead's the one that screwed everything up because he's the plant of the CLEC at these meetings. So, you know, some people don't have the chutzpah, the cojones, you know, they don't have the balls to stand up to somebody face-to-face like this because they're polite. Well, you know what? It's way past time to be fucking polite, because if this party goes down, the whole country goes down, and time is really short. And if you're not getting on this, and you're not getting other people who may not even have ever been politically active in on this, you got two choices. You can either fight within the form now, okay, or be prepared for a shooting war. And guess what? Most of America, I know, Americans have more guns than anybody else. You know what? If you go deer hunting, that doesn't mean you know squat about how to do anything military-wise, okay? So if you don't want this thing to fall apart and we have this you know, literal shooting war, I mean, it's happened in other countries that have gone down this road, you're not prepared. You've been living in cities, and you've got, you know, 24-hour access to food and water and Starbucks and all this other crap and, you know, 600 channels on the television, you're not prepared to go through what most of the rest of the people in this world have to go through. So you'd better fight now, because if the shit hits the fan, very few of you are going to survive in that kind of world. And then you will just cower and let the government run your life like a good little slave. So get pissed off and get angry and do something about it now. Don't just post anti-Obama crap. Who cares? Obama sucks. We know that. Don't just whine and bitch and complain. Do something. You know, we got 16 senators who just basically voted for cloture on a bill that they hadn't read, and it's all about gun restriction. Just think about that. And these people need to be hammered. I wish I had in front of me, but I forgot to pull it. Their names and numbers. But Mark Levin had a video where he called them out by name. It's not hard to find. Go to Chris's group, Coalition of Freedom. There's a list there of their phone numbers. Call every one of those sons of bitches, including the, quote, conservative ones like Kelly Ayotte. Okay, and hammer the hell out of them. Now, obviously, the Democrats that are about to lose races, you know, they didn't vote for cloture. Okay, and of course the Republicans who are trying to pretend to be conservative or who have a race coming up, they didn't either, including McConnell and Rubio. Okay, but hammer these 16 who did, like John McCain and Lindsey Lightner's loafers Graham. Sorry, Chris, if you want to talk about that gun thing, go for it. I'm a little hammered right now. I'm pissed. Go ahead.
Well, I was actually looking for the 16. Mark Levin nailed it. He went in. Well, Levin always has a rant. You know, he always builds up to a crescendo. And, you know, the bottom line is the thing that I turned on, who was it, Toomey and some Democrat, starts with a D.
Manson from West Virginia.
Yeah, with an M.
And Brigham Toomey, another douchebag from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. There you go. No, that's okay. And,
they got a lot of them
up
there.
Yeah, they do, don't they? But they have this new amendment that they're touting, and I heard this Democrat on Fox. I flipped it on. Don't ask me why. I just flipped the channel while I was sitting in my son's room, and I happened to catch it, and I'm listening to this guy talk, and I'm going, here's what people don't understand about this gun bill. The guy saying, oh, it won't create a national registry, and it won't do this, and it won't do that, and it won't do this, and it won't do that. And the commentator's going, you know, asked him a couple decent questions, but he didn't ask him the key question. My wife came outside, and I was talking to her about it, and I went off. I was just so pissed. I'm going, if it doesn't change anything, then why in the hell are you passing a bill and attaching federal dollars to something that will do nothing to solve a problem? In other words, they're selling this bill like it does nothing. Then why are you passing it? Why are you spending resources? Why are you spending my tax dollars screwing around with this crap? Why do we need the federal government to uniform anything across the country? Leave it to the states to figure out how they want to do their damn gun shows. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me how ignorant people are, especially these commentators at Fox that don't have enough savvy to turn to a guy and go, then why in the hell are you trying to pass a bill if it doesn't do anything? Why are you going to spend another $50 billion we don't have as a country on a bill that doesn't do anything?
Yeah, well, the thing about Fox and any of the news organizations is those are not reporters. They are now newsreaders. They're not actually out there doing any reporting on anything. And what they're doing is whenever they're basically playing teams, they are cheerleaders for the various teams. So whatever team is in power, if it's the Republicans, Fox News is going to be happy, and all the other channels are going to be yelling about how terrible everything is, and vice versa if the other party is in power. The problem is, essentially, they're enacting the same legislation. And so if Mitt Romney were in office right now and he had, you know, opined on the fiscal cliff negotiations, he would have gone out there. I guarantee you know it's true. He would have said, look, we can't cut government spending like this in a recession. We need to maintain what's going on right now. I think it's good for the economy. It's good. He would have done it. And you know what? Sean Hannity, all these people be out there saying, yeah, you know, I think he's right. But since it was Obama, it's like, oh, this is the worst thing ever, you know, because that's the vested interest, is to keep you on the team and to keep you thinking what the other team does is wrong. Meanwhile, the policies don't change.
Nice shooting, Tex.
There you go.
That was so key what you just said.
I didn't mean to stop your rant. I just had to tell you, nice shooting. Keep going, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think I was done. I had arrived at the point. I mean, I could go on and on about it, but it's true, and that's, you know, part of the problem. There is no press in this country anymore. You have to, you know, read about and investigate things yourself, and the problem is some of the places where you can get actual access to information, you get a lot of kooky stuff out there. People believe in all kinds of nonsense, which I won't even bother to repeat, but it's difficult.
It's true. There's crazy shit on the internet, but if you ever watch just an hour of the regular, quote, news television, it's just as much bullshit as what's on the internet. You still have to sift through it. At least on the internet, you have to sift through it and you actually find real stuff. You know, it's unbelievable. Gentlemen, you know, we're almost at the top of the hour. Just want to give out the guest call-in number, and we're looking for anybody who may have been at the RNC spring meeting, who has some updates and news for us, or people that you want to recognize, or people that you want to acquire our ire and derision. Please let us know. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. And we'll try to call those senators out by name shortly. But first up, we've got Chuck Suter, constitutionalwar.org. And Chuck was at the RNC spring meeting, and I believe he was there as a guest of I think it's Dr. Ada Fisher. Chuck, you're live with Tex and Rex and Trog. Welcome back home.
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I was Dr. Ada Fisher's guest. This is the I was her guest as well at the here in Charlotte. And she showed up just in time, actually, for that vote. We spent most of the morning in the Resolutions Committee, which not much has been said about. I'll give you a real quick update about that, maybe a little bit of good news out of there. Committee woman from Oregon, new freshman Tea Party committee woman, introduced a resolution to work with the Tea Party, and, you know, she made it clear she was talking about, you know, remarks that we had heard from Karl Rove without saying his name. And the Resolutions Committee, I kind of agree with what they said. What the original thing was to table it because it was specifically calling out a group that we would desire to work with as the Republican Party, although I like the, you know, the intent of it. So Brian helped, Brian Doherty from Maine, who I was sharing a room with out there, again, just like in Charlotte, we helped, well, Brian helped her change the language of that resolution that that said, you know, we want to be inclusive and work with the Tea Party, and we want the Tea Party to be a part of the Republican Party, and we changed the language to say the conservative grassroots. So I, you know, resolutions, what do? Not much most of the time, but I still think it was good, and it's good that we talked about that. A.J. Spiker had a resolution in the Resolutions Committee, which, you know, this is the very first meeting that went on Wednesday, right before we went over to the Rules Committee meeting. A.J. had a resolution honoring Ron Paul and his service. Lady asked the point, has there ever been a resolution just honoring just a specific politician? There has. I can't think of who that was for. It might have actually been Ronald Reagan. I don't know.
Calvin Coolidge.
Sorry. Well, that resolution passed unanimously. It was pretty easy. It doesn't do anything. Mark Willis, though, I did shoot a video of Mark. Mark brought up a resolution in support of Daryl Issa and these other guys who are trying to look into why the Department of Homeland Security has made, you know, these billions of dollars worth of purchases of ammo and you know, understanding purchasing ammo for practice is fair and fine, but purchasing hollow point ammo for practice really doesn't make much sense, especially when we don't have any money. That resolution, we debated a little bit. Maybe Mark's was a little strong. He was willing to compromise a little bit, and resolution did end up passing in support of what these guys are doing. So pretty decent wins out of the Resolution Committee. Then we moved on to the Rules Committee, and we had to elect a new Rules Chairman. We all the grassroots, we thought there was no chance, and I can't even, I'm jet lagged like you wouldn't believe, but I can't even remember the new rules. Gosh, I can't remember his name. The guy that we elected that I supported and still support, but the guy Blackwell nominated against the female from Maryland or wherever, but we ended up winning a small victory there, we thought. The man that Blackwell nominated to be the new chairman of the Rules Committee won that race, and that's our new...
So yeah, you drew blood. Chairman of the Rules. That's half the battle right there.
You drew blood.
Yeah, well, it definitely does help. And so then, obviously, we moved on to the first. There was a vote for sections of Rules 16 to be removed, and then after those. Somewhat passed, and you know those did end up not making it out of the committee, but they were. The attention was brought to them. We moved past that. We go to Blackwell, just giving. I mean, just talking and talking. I mean, I wanted to, I'm not on Twitter, but if I was, I would be tweeting out Stand with Blackwell, you know, because he was answering every question, taking all kinds of heat. The way that he was treated by some of these more establishment committee men and, mainly committee men and chairmen, mainly men, but the way he was treated, I thought, was absolutely disgusting. There were lots of stabs at his age to the point where it became not funny at all and almost uncomfortable. At one point, I think the chairman of the state of Pennsylvania, after telling us what a great conservative state the state of Pennsylvania was, even though we see Mr. Toomey voting to take your guns at actually probably about the same time this guy's telling us how great his Republican Party is up there, and they're in control. And that is one of the big things. We all know that a lot of people think it's the Republican Party. If the Republican Party wins, then conservatism wins, or we redefine conservatism. You know, whatever Republican Party says is conservatism, and none of us agree with that, obviously. But this gentleman, after he's telling us how great they are, tells Morton Blackwell, says, hey, you know, you've been here for quite a long time, Mr. Blackwell. A lot of us might consider you the establishment, which, you know, I find very hilarious. I mean, Morton Blackwell has 13,000 graduates of his leadership institute in the state of Virginia, and it's no coincidence that Virginia is the only state to ever really outdo Texas. They usually don't, but they have outdone Texas in numbers in a state convention, and Virginia ain't as big as Texas. I think they actually had 23,000 delegates show up to a state convention at one time, and that's a lot, and Morton Blackwell is responsible for a lot of
it. I would say typical establishment thinking, too. It comes down to whether you're establishment or not, how long you've been there, not what you've been doing while you are there. Same kind of BS type crap that they throw at the grassroots and people who are participating in the party trying to affect the type of change that the grassroots actually wants to see. So, you know, I would consider that spin that they're trying to put on his time of service up at the RNC.
Well, absolutely, and that's what it was. It was totally a move to muddy the water, to change the conversation away from the nuts and bolts that Blackwell was talking about. Blackwell had gotten up and mentioned, hey, you know, Blackwell, I don't know how caught up everybody is. We tried to get a lot of this information out. Blackwell and AJ Spiker and a few others had been meeting with Priebus before we had even got there. I guess they had all been there early, had a couple of meetings. Priebus says Blackwell wouldn't cave on a few things. He said I was pretty much giving him 90% of what he wanted, but the 10% that, you know, we didn't get is the 10% that actually mattered. So you can say, hey, look, baby, I'm giving you 90% of what you wanted when we took those marriage vows, but the 10% that you don't own up to is the 10% that actually you know, matters the most. Maybe that's the situation. I still myself need to really be able to clear my mind and see before I start putting out anything, you know, and directly and, you know, solid about my views on what had happened. I felt very bad after all this, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better, especially because of the way Morton felt. And if there's anybody who's been getting railroaded and just watching all his hard work be, you know, just pissed all over pretty much, it's Morton, and he was very upset Wednesday. But by the time we got to Wednesday night and some of the conversations, he was very excited to see the buzz and how this had gotten out to the media and people, you know, all around the country, groups like yours and little radio shows. And the attention is actually starting to, I think that we're getting more attention after this April meeting than we did after the winter meeting. And we really needed to get a whole bunch of attention for this meeting. But here's my view on that. And my view on that would be, I do believe that us, you know, if we would have had as much attention as I think that we're going to be able to build up for Chicago, the next convention is going to be in Chicago. I guess we're bouncing around the liberal cities here to have RNC conventions, but it will be in Chicago.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Since you've got liberal leadership.
If Morton Blackwell was the chairman and we had the right rules and we were doing that, you know, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it was the worst thing in the world if we're trying to reach out and really push out. But, yes, my sentiments are the same, and most of the Tea Party and grassroots libertarian folks had the same thoughts as what you just expressed.
Yeah, but, Chuck, I know that Chris wants to bring up a point, but real quick, what would you say is the most encouraging thing, if there's any one thing you can point to, that you experienced there to give people hope that this fight is worth fighting? I see that, you know, having Pubic's choice for chair not win reveals that, you know, this beast can be killed. Rhinos do bleed, and if they bleed, they can be ousted. But what would you say is the takeaway that you can say is the most positive thing that you felt coming out of this, so that we can build momentum and get people active now for Chicago?
The most positive thing that I would say is that not many agree with me, and they might all have very valid points. But in my opinion, and, you know, please don't, you know, don't break out the firing squad yet. Reince was a lot more hands-off than what it seemed like when it came to this. He was allowing the – he was pretty much, you know, he was working against us, no doubt about it. But he wasn't – he was allowing the process to take place, unlike what happened in Tampa. It was not allowed to take place in Tampa. This was allowed to take place. We had votes for, you know, tabling the Morton's motion. We had votes for all this other stuff. And Reince, when he showed up to the meeting, the first thing he said is, as the new chairman said, well, I'd like, you know, to turn the attention to Reince Priebus here. Our chairman is here. Would you like to, you know, make yourself known? And he's like, I think you just did that. Ha, ha, ha. I'm just here to eat the popcorn and observe. So he really, he did do that. The thing that made me the most upset, and I know I'm rambling a little bit here, but the thing that made me the most upset was votes from, you know, Ada Fisher, and I don't care who it would come from. We lost 28 to 25. That means we needed two votes. We just needed two, maybe Ada and somebody else, two votes, and then it would have went to the entire body. Now, we did go to the entire body to get shot down on our amendments to, parts of the rules. But if we could have went to the entire body to go all the way back, that would have been a lot more powerful, I think, and people would have been really fired up about it.
Obviously. And, I mean, the thing is that, obviously, you know, Reince has his people in place, so he can sit back now, and of course he's enjoying this new paradigm with the rules that he illicitly forced through in Tampa, so he can, you know, take a seat. You know, it's good that he's not necessarily as active, but obviously he's still working against grassroots, and so, you know, give this guy no quarter. And frankly, look, Ms. Fisher might be, or Dr. Fisher might be a nice lady, I don't know, but the fact that she acknowledged that she was getting votes or emails telling her to vote for Morton Blackwell's proposed amendment, and that she didn't, and expressed that she was ignorant about it, North Carolina, ditch her immediately. You know, I mean, and I'm not speaking for Chuck. He's got his own opinion, and he can say whatever he wants. But I'm telling you right now, North Carolina, get rid of these people. Chris, you got a point you want to bring up?
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
A little bit of what, you know, take off a little bit of what you just said. It just kept ringing through my mind as Chuck was, you know, filling this in on all the details. You know, I'm a simple guy. I like strategy, and it seems to me that when people vote, they show you their hand. So people who voted in support of this have a brain. They understand the importance of the grassroots. They understand the importance of true conservatives and Tea Party people and Liberty people. Those are your friends. The ones who voted against it either don't understand it, so they're idiots and need to be ousted, or they're corrupt and they're controlled, they need to be ousted, or they actually hate the grassroots and they need to be ousted. So it seems to me that you guys who came back from this meeting, Willis and Morton and yourself and whoever your friends were, your coalition, need to sit down and build a database and get the information out to the rest of us so we can promote the hell out of the good people and we can slam the crap out of these other people and get it passed out to people around through Twitter and our Facebooks and the shows, and we can actually educate people on who needs to be replaced in which states. You know, I'm a simple guy. You know, give me a plan. Give me the information. And then I can go to work to change it. Does that make sense?
Well, and one thing I would say about, you know, Ryan Spreeve is sitting back and saying, you know, well, I'm just here to, you know, eat some popcorn and watch the fireworks. You know, he's the chairman. All the strings, all these things, meetings tend to be kabuki theater for the most part. And so he had already talked to all the people behind the scenes, I would assume, and he marshaled his troops, and he already knew how the vote was going to turn out. So he's like, I don't need to get involved. You know, his involvement had already been there. Or they just counted the votes and was like, okay, these people are going to vote my way. That many people, I don't know what they're going to do, but they don't have enough votes. And this many people are totally confused and have no idea what's going on. And if they're totally confused and have no idea what's going on, they're going to vote for the status quo. And that's exactly what happened. So the hands-off at the meeting isn't really all that impressive when you consider, you know, the puppet mastering that went on before the meeting. But, you know,
I will agree that does not mean that we are set and with a great chairman or whatever. We could have a much worse chairman, in my opinion. And the real it's always just like a presidential thing. It's always a lot more fun to point the problems at Mitt Romney and this, that, or the other the real problem here, and I'll real quick read you the list of those on the rules committee. I'll just blast through it. These are the no's.
Do you have how they voted? Okay, you do have. Okay, yeah. Please don't blast through it. Read it. Read it slowly and clearly so that whoever's listening later, or you can re-listen. Remember, folks, all the archives are on our Blog Talk Radio page. The ones that voted against us are the ones I want you to harass, and I'm not talking about assault. I'm talking about email, tweet, phone call. So please go ahead, Chuck.
Okay, and this would be the rules meeting, the 28 to 25 vote, and these are the no votes. Obviously, you want to find the yes votes and not just harass the no votes, but the yes votes need you to stand up with them. They need your support. We need to show that if you're going to vote with the grassroots, you're going to have our support. Sometimes that's going to be financially as well. We'll come to your defense. We'll show up for things that you need us to show up for. We definitely got to do that. But here is your list of no votes. I don't have the names put together with them yet. Jeremy Blosser's working on that. We want to make sure we get it really specific. But this should be 100% accurate on the no votes. We have video. We have that. So we're going to go American Samoa, no. Connecticut, no. District of Columbia, no. And a couple of these you're going to hear, and I'll start over. I just want to make this point real quick. A couple of these that you're going to hear no votes against going back to the grassroots is what really pissed me off. Because guess what, southern part of America, the South voted no. Okay, so let's go through this again. No votes. American Samoa, no. Connecticut, no. District of Columbia, no. Georgia, no. Guam, no. Hawaii, no. Idaho, no. Illinois, no. Indiana, no. Kentucky, no. Maryland, no. Massachusetts, no. Mississippi, no. Missouri, no. Montana, no. New Hampshire, no. New Jersey, no. New Mexico, no. New York, no. North Carolina, no. Ohio, no. Pennsylvania, no. Puerto Rico, no. That's, in my opinion, North Carolina, I'm from the South, so, that's why I say this. North Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia. I don't understand
that's kind of, well, do you guys have a strategy to get a hold of these people to sit down and go, why did you vote this way?
As close as I am to Georgia, I'm Georgia politics is really truly a mystery to me. There's good groups in Georgia, but I've really got to figure out a way to reach out to them. I mean, Ada herself, obviously, we voted her in. The establishment ran a lady, Mary Frances Forrester, who absolutely she plays like she likes the Tea Party. She doesn't like the Tea Party at all. She absolutely hates the constitutionalists and the libertarians, absolutely hates us. So Ada Fisher, believe it or not, was the best choice by leaps and bounds to have reelected as our committee woman. And, she did. One of the things she did say is when she stood up and said, I don't know, I'm confused, what's going on here? I don't want to vote to go back to these rules because I don't know what's going on. I know I'm not trying to make excuses, but honesty is better than lying and saying, I know what I'm doing, and these rules are great. She also brought up the idea of, we need to, over the next three meetings, go through maybe rules 1 through 12 then rules 13 through 25, then 26 through 42. I would prefer that we would go through rules 1 through 25 at the next meeting and then go through rules 26 through 42 at the following meeting, because rules 30 through 39, I believe, or 31 through 40 are pretty much like a fill of rights of the same thing just said a bunch of different times. And most of what happens in rules 1 through 25 isn't our great concern. There's only a few things we need to address. We shouldn't have to spend all that time on all this stuff. We can deal with a tilted playing field. We just can't deal with a fixed game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I mean, some of us get confused, right, because you tend to find a prominent person from a state and think the state thinks that way. So, you know, Georgia's Newt country, so you'd think, oh, well, then they'd be, you know, conservative, and obviously Newt hates these rules. He thought it was a stupid thing to do. He was really pissed in Tampa. But, you know, keep in mind, you know, Kentucky, it's Rand Paul country. But it's also Mitch McConnell-controlled territory. So, you know, the individual committee men are very important to know where their minds are at and to put pressure on them to do what the grassroots want. And this is precisely why these rules from Tampa are so problematic, because it allows these 168 people to be the deliberative body for the entire party. And that's precisely why conventions have so many delegates, so that you have more debate and more voices. Of course, we had a lot of voices in Tampa, and, you know, they got joned. And if you don't know what that means, look it up, because that's what happened. So, you know, Mississippi doesn't surprise me. Isn't that Barber territory? And Haley,
yes,
and his
absolutely.
Son Henry haven't
Haley
been
Barber.
too good, you know. So, look, just because somebody has a nice southern accent and a gun rack and chews tobacco – doesn't mean they're a conservative. So stop falling
no.
for imagery.
Think of Huey Long. He wasn't conservative
well,
at all.
Well, absolutely, guys. And for those who don't know, the my friend Jeremy Blosser, who gave me, who is, you know, compiling the list and, you know, checking it twice, finding out who was naughty and nice over there at Hollywood, he is the actual guy who got joned. That's Jeremy Blosser. He's the one who joned the silence. And we showed Reince that picture up on the balcony of the hotel, 54th floor or whatever it was. I actually, there's a picture of me. Reince comes through the entire crowd because he had seen my video calling him out, which I think I did in a very respectful way. But, you know, obviously a little upset that I was even having to fly out to Hollywood and leave my four children and pregnant wife behind to do so. But Reince comes through the crowd and comes right over to me and gives me a big hug, and we talk. And, you know, a lot of folks say, you know, how can you do that? Well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I have to, if this guy wants to be my friend, if he wants to talk to me, I will definitely, I'll talk to anybody. And if I can get them to change a little bit, then that's what I'm trying to do. But we showed Reince the picture of Joan, Jeremy showed Reince the picture of Joan the Silencer. And we didn't, you know, we didn't make much ground, but he's, you know, he's allowing us. And at this point, I mean, they've almost got complete control over everything to where they can shut everything down. I'm not even sure that he wants that. But one thing that Reince is definitely not going to do is Reince is not going to be Morton Blackwell. He's not going to go for that aspect of it. He's not as dedicated to conservatism as we are, obviously. But he, you know, he's a Republican first, definitely, not a conservative, or I don't even know how conservative he is. But what we can do is we can show up with more people, and we need to, and I'll blame Reince right along with you, we need to elect these committee men, committee women, and state chairmen. This is very easy, folks. I mean, this is not hard to do. especially if you have conservative states. And I think, what is it now, like 31 Republican governors? Now, not all that means conservative, don't get me wrong. But also, in some of these Democrat states, the Republican Party is extremely weak. So those states are very easy to win these committee men, committee women chairmanships. And then you send them to the Rules Committee for us. And some of you out there in America will be having your state conventions. We'll be having our state convention, for example, here in June, where we will not be electing a new chairman, committee man, or committee women, woman, but we will be we will be electing a new chair and vice chair, but not a committee man or committee woman. So we will have the opportunity to maybe have a conservative like my friend Jack Brosh, who's running for chair, state chair, to go in there, and he's with us on the rules. He just publicly announced that that Boehner and Priebus have pissed him off. So if he was there with us, and he would have been the vote for North Carolina instead of Ada Fisher, North Carolina would have been solid with yep. Blackwell.
Let's make it happen. Chuck, we've got only 30 minutes of airtime, so I'm going to let you go. But if you've got anything you want to plug or any fundraising for people who are doing the hard work on the floor, can you please share that with us? And any final points before I let you go?
Again, my website is constitutionalwar.org. It's not always updated, but it is. If you want to support what I do, there is a donate button there. My wife has told me I might not. She might not be too excited about me missing her birthday to go to the Chicago meeting to get apply more pressure and hopefully get the wheels rolling on changing some of these things. Find out who you can support, whether it's me, somebody else, yourself. Become a guest yourself. Show up at these meetings. Go, and a lot of it is rubbing the elbows, talking to these people, opening their minds. Reince was right when he talked to us at the hotel and said, I'll be honest with you, a lot of you Tea Party guys and you libertarians, you know the rules better than the people on the Rules Committee. And now that is sad, but it is what it is. So just do what you guys keep doing what you're doing. I hope everybody out there continues to support you. Support the grassroots. Go elect new committee men and committee women. That's the only way it's going to change, and I appreciate the time, guys.
Thanks, Chuck, and we appreciate you keeping us updated. Let us know anytime you've got information or activist points that you want us to get out there, and we appreciate you doing the heavy lifting out there in Los Angeles, Hollywood, Los Angeles, California, and we'll see you around.
Thank you much.
And tell your wife when you're going to Chicago, you only get one chance to change the world.
Very good, sir. I will. Thank you.
All right. That was Chuck Suter, constitutionalwar.org, and he was out there on the ground. Now, he said, I don't know how conservative Reince Priebus is. Well, I can just tell you that generally people like Reince Priebus aren't conservative or liberal. They're just opportunistic paramecium scum. Dispatch the son of a bitch. The only thing that's good about him is he has good whiskey and cigars in his penthouse suite at the convention. Other than that, he's worthless. Look, folks, victory is at hand. These desperate measures that these insipid bastards are taking is because we are winning, and they can't win elections without us. All this bullshit about party unity, what the hell does that mean? I mean, why would you want to be united behind a party that seeks to screw you over? 16 senators, Republicans, okay, voted for cloture on a bill, a gun restriction bill they hadn't read. You want me to get united behind that? Hell no.
We already have a Congress that does that. Why should we have an RNC that does it? Apparently that's the new way things are. People are voting on stuff they haven't bothered to read. They don't know the implications of. Where did this come from? Why is there a change? Why is this even controversial? If there was a rule enacted at Tampa, why would we vote to change it? Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to read all that stuff. I'm just so happy to be here. Hey, Reince, what's going on? This is some wonderful satay chicken that we're having. There you go. That's your RNC meeting in a nutshell. Morons running on autopilot. I'm just so happy to be here. Meanwhile, the party falls apart. We wonder why. I just don't understand why we're not connecting. I don't know. you have a job that you're supposed to be doing here with respect to these rules, and you're not connecting with that job. You don't know what's going on. You're not having a real debate. You're having this kabuki theater thing that's already pre-scripted, and you already know the end result before the debate and discussion even happens. When does this debate and discussion actually happen? Oh, it happens before the meeting. How does it happen? Do they meet? No, they don't meet. They talk on the phone. Oh, well, I think it would be really great if you voted for this. Well, I'm so glad that you called me, Ryan. I mean, I'm just a super 100% Republican supporter because I just hate those dirty Democrats, and I would never vote for one. So whatever you say is awesome. I'm totally going to do that when I get there to prove what a super swell Republican I am and how I super support everything that we're doing. And we just got to change this country, and thanks for calling me. Yeah, thanks a lot, idiot. Click. Okay, let's call that next moron. Hey, you know, Ms. Ryan. Really need you to support this rule. Oh, Ryan, I'm just a super number one, 100% Republican. I got all the jerseys and everything, and I go to the games, and I wave the flag. I mean, that's what's going on. It's not more complicated than that. And then when you get to the actual meetings, nobody wants to stand up and say anything because, oh, well, I want to create a stir. Why don't you want to create a stir? You just lost a fucking election to a guy you should have cakewalked right over. I mean, should have been able to steamroller Obama in – if you had run almost anyone else, anybody, you would have won this election. But instead, you ran this idiot. And this idiot is the one who enacted these rules. But they don't even know that much. And now you're like, well, I don't know. I don't want to change the rules. The rules were already changed by the guy who lost.
Yeah, I mean, Warren Blackwell's resolution was only to change them back. Okay, and they were, for the most part, good rules. Now, I got issues with, you know, primaries because every, you know, rank and file dipshit that watches Fox News and pays attention to politics about as much as they pay attention to the fucking pimples on their ass gets to vote, which is not appropriate. But that's up to the state to decide. You don't get to dictate that from the federal level or the... Sorry, go ahead.
They might be paying more attention to the pimples on their ass than they are actually these primaries. But anyway,
yeah.
I digress.
No, you don't digress. That's the problem. The problem is morons who do what they're told shouldn't be involved in the candidate selection process. Now, I'm not one to say that, you know, you should restrict voting, okay? I believe that everybody should have a right to vote, but, you know, I do think that there should be some qualifications. I mean, if you don't know how government works, you don't know the office you're voting for, you can't read or write or something like that, I mean, we got a serious problem. Ignorance is how democracy or, you know, how a republic dies. You don't have the right to be ignorant. If you're the subject of a king, okay, you have the right to be ignorant because basically he dictates to you what your life is. But if you are the citizen of a republic, you don't have the right to be ignorant. It is a duty to participate. And we've lost that, which is why we're where we are now. We have to gain that back. And the way you do that is you encourage people who are active, and people who are not active, you tell them why they need to be. I mean, anybody who tells you that, well, I don't really like get political or I don't like to discuss my political views, well, politics is very interested in you, whether you're interested in it or not. Politics is in your toilet. It's in your light bulb. It's in your food. It's up your ass. If you're not involved, you're getting bowled over, just like the picture of that elephant I got screwing the rhino on the graphics of the page. Trog?
I believe he's on mute, but absolutely. I mean, politicians.
Can you hear me?
People don't want to talk about this stuff. I'll rant real quick, turn it back over to you, Trog.
Yeah.
People don't want to talk about this stuff. He's, oh, then I have an uncomfortable conversation. Then I may, you know, disagree with somebody, and I don't want to cause a wave. Well, you know, cause a wave. You know, what do you actually think? And the problem is, most people don't think. I think what everybody else thinks. I just want to, you know, go along to get along. I don't have an opinion about things one way or another. You got to have these conversations. In order to have a democracy, you have to participate in democracy, which is to have a battle of ideas. And maybe you start out with an incorrect position. And then over the course of the evening and conversation with somebody else, you realize, well, you know, maybe that made sense, you know. Or they raised some good points. I haven't changed my mind, but you've raised some good points, you know. And now you're having a debate, you know. These are the types of things that people are afraid of doing. But they also, they're terrified of startling the herd. You know, oh, my God, I don't want to startle people. And then maybe a whole bunch of people would think that I'm a terrible person, right? Well, maybe
the
those people. Yeah. Maybe those people. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, I'll turn it over to you, Drew.
Well, I had a couple points. One was I just saw an article, and I'll come back to that in a second. But I was having a conversation earlier today on the group, and some, you know, we got into this, you know, how many Christians don't even vote? And I go, well, that's stupid. You know, why aren't they involved in politics? And the person I was chatting with, you know, said that, oh, a lot of people are like, you know, Jesus wasn't involved in politics and this and that and the other. And I'm like, the hell's the matter with people? This is the greatest country in the history of the world. It was inspired, if you're a Christian, inspired by God. I mean, it's the freest country that's ever existed. It was built on a foundation of information. It is a citizen-run country. What in the hell? What are pastors teaching people that allows 90 million Christians to sit out and stand around and bitch and blog about crap but won't get involved in politics in a citizen-run country? It just blew me away because it's obvious. It's been a point, you know, of contention with me for years. Is it's your country. Our founding fathers put this thing together so you could run it and be free and exercise your religious freedoms. Now you're losing all this crap, and you're sitting on your ass going, well, you know, we shouldn't get involved because, you know, we're spiritual people. You know, this is secular. Excuse me? What kind of freaking stupid crap are they teaching people in church nowadays?
Yeah, well, who said Jesus wasn't involved in politics anyway? He was definitely involved. He went into the temple. He's throwing the tables over. I mean, the ancient state of Israel was basically run on religious law, and he goes in there, and he's talking about changing religious law, right? So he wasn't involved
in national
politics. He wasn't involved in Roman politics because, you know, God knows he couldn't do anything about that or wasn't interested in doing anything about that at the time. You know, you got the huge Roman Empire that you're dealing with, but he was involved locally. Like, hey, I think this stuff that's going on here is wrong. So,
yep.
You know, get involved locally. There you go. Problem solved.
Well, it's just, I just wonder, I mean, you guys, you know, we've been talking, all three of us have talked to each other until we're blue in the face, but, you know, it's just amazing to me how few people are engaged. I wonder how many people even took the time to research this information that we put out about this spring meeting. I started on the gun control conversation the day after Connecticut. The day of the Connecticut shooting, I turned to my son and said, we got to launch this radio show, and we got to get on this because these libs are going to run with this one. And so through the holidays, while everybody was decorating trees, guess what I was doing? I was working and researching and setting up shows for the gun control argument because I knew this one would be a bad one. And people go like, well, you're crazy. And I'm going, I don't know. It was like 1 + 1 = 2. These people are going to strip our freaking constitutional rights if we don't get on it. But it was amazing to me how many people, they look at you and go, oh, okay, that's really cool. And you're like,
well,
are you
freaking most people don't
insane?
Have time. Most people don't have time. I mean, that's part of the design. But you know what? These days with,
yeah.
You know, the Google at your fingertips, it ain't that hard. Okay, you know, share a show like this with them. I mean, if, you know, we're not everybody's cup of tea because I fucking cuss too much. Well, guess what? The country's going down the tube, but you're asking me about my politeness. I don't really give a shit. The simple fact is that politics has got its hands in every aspect of my life. It's extra constitutional. It is immoral. And, you know, with your, you know, little piety that, oh, I'm a good religious person, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you're not fighting tyranny, you're aiding it. And that makes
you
the enemy. So get off the couch, turn off the dancing with the freaks, get the Cheetos out of your mouth, and get involved. Because if you're not involved now, it's going to fall apart, and you're going to regret. And I wish I'd known. I would have done something. Oh boy, you know, too late. Do it now. Do it
when you get
now.
When you get that letter where they say, well, because you know checked into a clinic, or your wife had depression, you know, a post-traumatic stress syndrome. Or, you know, a family member died, you had grief counseling, and you get that letter from the federal government saying, turn in your guns because you're a risk. Don't freaking blame me because I've been talking about this for months now.
Well, yeah, and we're
talking about
it. If you
allow these bastards to move anything through the Senate, anything, the direction they're going to go with this mental health program, if you get in an angry argument with somebody who steals money from you and then you get tagged for it and considered violent, you will lose your guns. They're already going after our soldiers. They're already going. I have case after case after case history in California and these other gun grab states where you know, you had any kind of situation, any kind of mental anything, you know, ever in your life, they're taking your damn guns. It's coming. They're going to
yep.
take millions of people's guns through this mental health thing. And
yeah,
Obamacare
absolutely.
Is set up, and they changed the damn law because Obamacare was set up in the first place so that you didn't, you know, they could just write laws continually, nonstop, without it ever going through Congress. And they changed
yep.
the damn HIPAA thing on guns. Now your doctor's required to ask you if you have guns. They can look at you and go, ah, he's got a crazy eye there. Hey, his two eyeballs are a different color. He might be a risk. And then, bam, it's on your record. You lose your damn rights for the rest of your damn life. People need
yep.
to freaking wake up on some of this stuff. I had conservatives tell me back when I first started having, you know, doing our shows, my son and I, on this whole gun thing, it, none of it was based on fact. None of the issues they were going after had anything to do with crime or fighting crime or fixing the problem or fixing what caused, you know, Lanza's situation. You know, it was all about guns and registries and all this shit. And people stand around and they point at me and go, oh, you're freaking radical. And I'm going, I'm, you know, I'm 55 years old. I don't remember how old I am. But I have watched them steal our freedoms. I remember a different country than I live in today.
Yep.
God, it's
Chris,
just frustrating
Chris,
to me how few people
well, Chris,
get involved.
Everybody should be as pissed off as you. And if people think that we're being radicals
yeah,
or extremists,
you know,
first of all,
I'm not pissed at Obama. I'm
no,
pissed
it's
at
the
people
Republicans.
Who claim they're conservatives, who
That's
claim
right.
they're Republicans, who can stand there and go, well, 16 people, you know, Rand Paul's pretty radical. Here's an article by Karl Rove saying, oh, the Senate Republicans
yep.
Is going to hurt
overreach
their reelection.
Yep.
Because they were talking about filibustering. They're the freaking heroes of this country. And you got this bastard who got us Romney, who lost to Obama, sitting here saying that these guys like Lee and Rand and Cruz, that this is hurting them politically? They're heroes
yeah.
to the rest of us. Where do these
exactly.
people come from? Mars? Sorry.
I think they come from Soviet Russia. But look, here's a simple thing. You know, when you use words like radical, extremist, or whatever, those are adverbs. So you got to have an object to go with them. Otherwise, they're kind of meaningless. If you think that we're being extremists or we're being radicals or whatever the hell you want, pick up a copy of Rand Paul's newest book, Government Bullies. He's got documented facts of the government raping the hell out of human beings who've done nothing wrong and nothing illegal by arbitrary government bureaucrats. This is happening. It is happening now. And if you're not getting involved to fight
years.
It now, it's going to be over for all of us. Now, this isn't some kind of doom and gloom apocalyptic setting here. We still can fix it. This is America. But not if you sit on your ass and watch Fox News all day. You got to get up and you got to get involved. You got to go to meetings. You've got to get involved in the parties. And guess what? The Republican Party is your only shot on the federal level. So friggin' take it over and purge the rhinos. And speaking of rhinos, especially ones that are willing to vote on cloture. Now, what's cloture? Cloture is a vote to basically proceed with a bill. Okay? And they voted to proceed with the bill on a simple majority, which means basically that a Democratic-controlled Senate can do whatever the hell they want. None of these fucking senators read the bill. They don't know what's in it. It could be anything. It could say that anybody who's in the Republican Party loses their guns and it would friggin' pass. Okay? Now, that's extra-constitutional. It's illegal. It wouldn't matter. But they'll do it. Okay? And these people are Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. Dispatch him. Kelly Ayotte, you know, Tea Party darling and conservative of New Hampshire, bullshit, fire her. Richard Burr of North Carolina, Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, Susan Collins of Maine, Bob Corker of Tennessee, Jeff Flake of Arizona, Lindsey Lightness Loafers Graham of South Carolina, Dean Heller, Nevada, John Hoven, North Dakota, Johnny Isaacson, Georgia, Mark Kirk, Illinois, John Dipshit McCain of Arizona, Patrick Douchebag Tooby of Pennsylvania, that's the same place you got Specter and Santorum from, Roger Wicker of Mississippi. Don't let these people survive. They need to be ousted. They need to be ousted quick, and it is up to you to make it happen. Call them. every single day. Get other people to call them. They don't have the right to abdicate their responsibility. It is not a deliberative body. It isn't a debate society. It is the representation of the states and the federal government to uphold the Constitution. You don't elect these people to go get the booty for you and bring it back to your state. You elect them to go defend the Constitution to keep the federal government in check. That's their job. These 16 Republicans didn't do it. These are not conservatives. These are not Tea Party folk. These are not Liberty folk. These wouldn't even qualify as Republicans 30 years ago. Harass them every day on the phone. Tweet out. Twitter is good because it's public. Tweet at their handle how much of an asshole they are and how they've abdicated their responsibility. Make it happen, okay? That's what you have to do. It's up to you. You're the one that's got to do it. If you're not doing it, then, you might as well just give up the country now. These are the people who really, really screwed you. Tex, you want to comment on this, and then I'll bring in Kelly.
And we've proven that they back down when you confront them. I mean, we've already seen Karl Rove backing down when he was forming his kill pack. And we've seen John McCain go on Fox News and say, hey, well, I didn't really mean it when I was calling them, wackos, Rand Paul and others. So they will back down. They respond to this type of pressure. So keep the pressure on them because they're trying to take the party in absolutely the wrong direction. They're listening to these people who are in the consulting and lobbyist group who are cleaning up millions of dollars from the party, and all they're interested in is making sure that they get more money. They're listening to these guys, and they're telling them to, hey, become the Democrat Party. Become just like them, and then you'll win, because that's where the majority of the country is. We're a center-left country, right, because Obama won, not realizing that Obama won because we ran a center-left candidate, and the party, grassroots, left the party at the election altar, if you will. And their argument is the cure for rhinoism is even more rhinoism. That's what they're coming up with. So you have to let these people know. Let these people know that that's not the direction that the party needs to go, and that you're not going to put up with this, and that their actions and what they're saying you don't support. And you know what? They back down every time. Because, Lyndon Johnson said this, right? So Lyndon Johnson down here from Texas, but was president during the late 60s, and he became historically unpopular in his second term. And he's like, well, when you're facing the wrath of the people, the only thing you can do is hunker down like a jackass in a hailstorm. And that's what you got to make them do. Make the rhinos do that. Just hunker down like a jackass in a hailstorm. Just, we're not putting up with this shit. We don't want to hear from you. We don't like the direction that you're taking the party. And then find people to run against them and get rid of these people. You know what? Everybody's bemoaning the fact that we lost Dick Lugar. Oh, holy shit. Dick Lugar, paragon of conservative movement of the Republican Party. Who gives a shit about Dick Lugar? I mean, what was he doing when he was there anyway? What difference does it make? And so, okay, Murdoch didn't win, right? Okay, so somebody else is in there. Guess what? They're enacting the same policies Dick Lugar was anyway, so what fucking difference does it make whether he won or lost? Who cares? But at least now you have a chance to run somebody new, a new Republican, who, if he got elected, may actually be a conservative and actually affect some change in the Senate. But sending Dick Lugar up there year after year just because he has an R by his name isn't doing anything. You know, but that's not how the party thinks. They're like, well, he's got an R by his name, so he's one of ours, so that's good. That's a victory for us. Well, maybe a victory for the party, but if the party is doing the exact same thing that the opposition is, what difference does it make who you vote for? Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
You sure?
Llama party.
Look, I mean,
well,
go ahead, Chris, go.
Well, the thing, and I'm, ditto on everything you guys are saying, and it's so important to understand that when you look at, when Rand Paul did that filibuster, you look at the attention that went around the world. He was number one Twitter issue going on in the world. One guy stood up, and then he got a tremendous amount of following, in terms of, on the radio, on the news, and he stuck himself out there, and he made comments, and he commented on immigration, he commented on, gun control, he commented on we didn't hire an emperor, he just stays steady in these principled things that we hired him to do as a Tea Party, elected official, and he's built a voice for himself, and then more and more and more people are standing up. It is so amazing to me how few heroes it takes to change. Everybody is had the crap kicked out of them and have been beat up by both the Democrats and the damn Republicans, you know, the McCains and the Grahams and the Boehner and Cantor and Ryan and all those rhinos who, you know, survived the Bush era, you know, and somehow got reelected. God knows why. People, hint, hint, that live in their states, you know, wake the hell up, you know, because we didn't have a Tea Party revolution, so these bastards could ruin it. Forget what Obama's doing. Just look at our own party. But you look at what's going on. Rand gets up and goes to, he gets invited to a predominantly black college. You know, it's historically black college. It's a old Howard University. Goes in there and speaks. He gets attacked by the left. He gets attacked by the right. I bet you the RNC rhinos were freaking the hell out because he didn't ask anybody, any of the elites, permission to go speak. And then he gets invited to another historically black college. And people are listening to his message. People are being interviewed after these, after his conversations. What I found amazing was his first speech. He had a 20-minute Q&A session. He walks in a college that the last Republican had walked into and spoke was not Clarence Thomas, but the guy that was the military, the black guy, Colin Powell.
Colin West.
Yeah, the last guy that spoke there was a black Republican. And what was amazing is Rand Paul, I don't know if we've had a white Republican ever walk into this college, and he walked in and said, I'm here to talk, to open a dialogue, to listen, to put my hand out, to have a conversation, and I'm here to ask for your vote. It was mind-boggling how he approached these people. Then he, and there's people traveling from other states and other colleges to come and listen to the man, and all he did was get off, blow the dust off his ass, and walk out the door and said, you know what? We need to go find out why these people aren't voting for us, because the Republican Party was a party of freeing the slaves, and what the hell happened? You know, where did it go wrong, and why does the Democrat Party own this vote? And so
well,
Rand said, I'm going to go find out.
Right, which is why someone like Rand Paul, which is why someone like Rand Paul could, being, you know, and I'm not, you know, focused on 2016, but if he was at the top of your ticket, someone who can attract new voters who are traditionally not Republican voters, but who agree with a truly conservative message that's within the framework of the Constitution, would have a huge impact down ballot too. So I think it's fantastic. Gentlemen, we have a few callers. One of them wants to get on with some important information. I don't know who this is, but we'll try. And unfortunately, I don't have an area code to work with, so this is hit or miss. We might be opening up the line to some nut job. So let's just see how this goes. Sam, is that you? Your mic is live.
Hopefully. Is that? Am I coming through all right?
Yeah, we can hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we can
fine.
Hear you fine.
Good. All right, gentlemen, let's get some things straight real quick right off the bat. We got about 10 minutes to go. I was the 2012 first declared Republican National Party candidate. I was in before you, Herman Cain, Michelle Bachmann, Newt Gingrich, the whole lot of them. I started getting bamboozled out early in the South Carolina debate. Instead of them letting me come in like the Constitution allows, they wanted me to pay that $35,000 and let Herman Cain in early so that he could be the black Republican going up against a black Democrat. The reason I wanted to jump in really quickly, and we can talk again, is that one of your callers, Chuck, mentioned that he wasn't sure that there was voting in the Bible. Every Christian, every atheist, every American God-fearing patriot better get on board right now and get in there and vote. In Deuteronomy 1:13, it tells you, God's words are, choose your tribes wise, understanding and experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads. So I, a God-fearing, strict constitutional conservative, came in not wanting any salary. I wasn't coming in for celebrity. I came up and asked Sarah Palin to help me. I asked everybody that I could possibly think of to help me get out there because I was running on my own money. I had gotten on the primary ballots. I drove physically into Florida The only thing that you had to do to get on that primary ballot was to request it. I did that in Georgia. And these gentlemen wanted who they wanted. The Republican National Party wanted who they wanted. But let me tell you right now, Mitt Romney was never going to win, never. And so when they played that little horse race and Fox and the rest of these television stations, there's only about 50 people that are out there in our news media on the national televisions and radios. So the entire country was only hearing these people. We're getting lost in that shuffle. But Sam Tittle was running the thoroughbred race horse race. I was in the race as hard as I could be there. I had an FFL license for 11 and a half years. I know this gun control issue that we've got by the back of my hand. What's going on right now is we've got a broken two-party system. And what happened is when that Republican National Party forced me off of that ticket, I had to jump out, and I didn't do it into an independent party. I came in as the independent candidate, we the party, we the people. It was we the people, one party. I was one of us for all of us. I was professing equal rights for all, special privileges for none. I was all about Main Street before Wall Street. I was done with the corrupt and worn-out politicians. Let me tell you what we've got to do this time, gentlemen. We've got to come in like the president, George Washington did when he started this so many years ago. Our founding fathers knew that we were going to have a non-politician, seasoned American citizen who knows exactly what we've got to do under this Constitution. So instead of me taking all the last of your time up, I will come back in at your request, and we can
hold
do
on.
This
Sam,
again.
Sam, hold on a second. You can stay. My time is not going to be up, just my lifetime. So it messes out to everybody else. We're going to go into overtime for a little while. I really can't stick around for much more than a half hour. But anybody who is listening to the show live right now, you need to call in if you want to hear the rest of the show live. Otherwise, please catch us in archives on our Blog Talk Radio page. That's the Tex and Rex Show on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to the archives, download the MP3 by right-clicking. And if you like our Facebook page, on Facebook you'll get updates in your newsfeed when we're broadcasting. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That is 646-649-1013. I won't be able to bring on any more callers, but you'll be able to hear the rest of the show live. And I'm going to throw it to my co-host, Tex, if you have anything you want to comment with Sam about. Go for it.
No, I just want to say that, you know, absolutely what she's saying is true. You know, she comes in and then they short-circuit the system because they have a certain set of candidates who are the approved candidates. This goes back to what I have said before about the Iranian system, where when they have people who want to run for president, everything has to go to the Council of Guardians, and the Council of Guardians approves who are the acceptable people to be candidates for president of Iran. Same thing's going
well,
on here.
Well,
if
sense,
your name's not on the
sense,
list, they don't want you.
And Brett, and you, and I'm learning you all, and we need to thank one of your listeners, Arlene Harnoy. And she's the one that thought that I better get over here and listen to your show, and it's pretty interesting. Let me tell you that we're on the same page. There will be no political correctness. We are done. We are through with it. We are ready to buckle down and strap it up, and we're coming in. The people are mad as hell. They want an answer, and they want their country back. I'm all about sovereignty. I'm all about united again. We have got to pull it together as one party, we the people, one party. Stop with
Absolutely.
The Democrats, stop with the Republican, and if you go to my Facebook, you'll see how derelict I am. I'm done with them. I have gotten in their faces. I have spoken to John Boehner. I have whipped them like a bad stepchild because we're done with them, and they're not listening. When I came to them and I told them, knock it off, shall not be infringed means shall not be infringed. That means we're not going to give you an inch, Congressman, because you would take a mile, just as you've proven to us for the last 40 years and beyond that. So it's not about Democrat or Republican. I was born into a Democrat home and under John Fitzgerald Kennedy stood up as a true patriot. But once I realized there were no free lunches, and he was basically, if you go back listening, speaking on behalf of the Republic, then that is when a little girl looked up at her father and he said, "You will be president." And I looked at him and said, "Daddy, how can I be president when I'm a girl?" He said, "Young lady, it is that you love God, country, and your family." And when I asked him why he put our family last and God first, I understood that part. But the country, he told me, if we do not have a country, we have no families. Now, Mitt Romney, I want all of your listeners to understand, was never going to win. His father and mother were Mexican citizens, and they did not repatriate. And so when he was termed that at age 18 he was to go and naturalize, he did not do it. And furthermore, he could never have been president. So what this imposter did was they held all of these things on these people's heads all the way through. Now, I'm briefed three times a day and once just before midnight, and I just told them just a moment ago I was waiting to get online. Let me just say this. The things that are going on right now are beyond the comprehension of a patriot. You never would have believed that our country would come to this. But when you've got an illegal alien, an imposter, an evil, let's just call it the way it is. There is evil in this country. That man will do anything and everything to divide, to destroy this country, and we all see it. So let
sure,
me assure
Sam,
you.
But the fact is that Obama's really not the problem because, you know,
no.
He's out out in 2016 and we could care less. We're focused on
getting
conservatives.
Thank you for correcting me, because I've got to find a way with the help of my fellow patriots and citizens on how to get that name out of the picture. I have no worries about him, none at all. We just have to go in there and clean up the mess and reverse everything that he's ever done. Any executive order has to be pulled to my desk. I have to go through every single one of them, and we have to reverse a whole heck of a lot of mess, his.
Sam, reversing what he's done is not that hard. The problem is that he wouldn't be able to do anything if it wasn't for John Boehner funding him and for Mitch McConnell getting 16 Senate Republicans to cave on the gun registration cloture. So our focus here is in outing those senators and harassing them to get them gone and focusing on fixing these RNC rules so that we can actually get a conservative on the ticket.
I'm afraid that if you keep going in the direction of trying to change the rules or fix the rules, it's going to be a problem for you, and I'm going to tell you why. I admire Rand Paul, and he won in Louisiana, and he won in Massachusetts, and he came to that Florida convention with those votes, with his electors who showed up and paid their money and got there. And only 25 minutes in, they changed those rules right then and there, and they just turned everything topsy-turvy. Otherwise, we would have had a brokered convention. So,
of course,
let me say, you may be able to do something now in 2014 to pull in a lot of congressmen and women to take over these positions and give us a complete Republican House so that we can do what we've got to get done and hold this man affixed so that he doesn't have free reign, so that he is a lame duck, shot dead, buried, and gone. And I'm talking in a material way, folks, not a physical way. I am not about harming anyone, but no one will take our rights away from us. So when I need to learn, because I gave a speech with some Marines up at Quantico, and they told me that if I kept pulling out his name, that I was going to be called a racist. And let me just tell you really quickly what I said to them. These are the exact words, so help me God. Don't you ever call me a racist again. I do not like the white side of his policies as badly as I don't like the black side of his policies.
Well, it's not an issue. I mean, race isn't an issue. Obama's red. That's his problem.
He made it an issue.
It has nothing to do with the color of his skin. The fact is that John Boehner's orange, and he's a bigger problem than Obama. So color doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is it's policies. Go, Tex.
Yeah, this gets back to the fact that, look, Barack Obama came in, and he was running, stating that the Republican Party is spending too much. Look at George Bush and how much he's spending. And then Barack Obama proved to be no opposition to the profligate Congress, right? And now that Barack Obama's been reelected, the Republican Congress is no opposition to what Barack Obama wants to do. They're all, you know, at the, what would you say? They're all under the thrall of this clique, this lobbyist establishment, a group that's within Washington that it just keeps spitting out dollars and spending our money, and they can't. No one seems to be able to control the process. You can't elect people who could go in and state that this is wrong and who are strong enough to take a stand, but they want to control the number of candidates that you actually can vote for. Who can speak? What is legitimate debate within Washington? Certainly, cutting spending radically is not legitimate debate. Look what they did to the Tea Party. I mean, the one thing that unites the Republican Party, so there's a lot of platforms with a lot of different groups that make up the Republican Party, but at the heart of it, it's about fiscal conservatism and restraining federal spending and reducing it. But, of course, if you look at what happened under George Bush II, that's not what happened. It was about expanding government and doing all this, you know, extra additional spending, you know, way beyond what anybody had ever done before. So these people come in, and now they're demonized as racist and all this kind of stuff. And the Tea Party is the heart and soul of the Republican Party, and the modern Republican Party, embodied in John Boehner and other people like that, basically made clear that they didn't want these people around, that they're radicals, that they're not on, you know, on board with where the modern Republican Party is. Well, maybe they're not on board with where the modern Republican Party is, but that just tells me that the modern Republican Party is not on board with where the mindset of the American voter is. And maybe this is why you're losing election. Not all this branding crap that they're doing.
Well, let me jump in very quickly, if you please. Let me jump in really quickly. Let me make it perfectly affirmed, solid, crystal clear. The Tea Party is every American taxpayer who feels that they're overtaxed, and we are not going to permit 535 members of Congress, the establishment, the media, to define what a Tea Partier is. So whenever that comes up, I would suggest that we all knock it off, right off their shoulders, and we stand up as one party. Because I'm coming through, fellas. I'm coming through, and I'm coming through as an independent candidate. I'm not pulling off of any party. We are coming through as we the people. We are coming through as one of us for all of us. And this time, we're going to do the shakeup so that we can pull back together a two-party system. Otherwise, we're going to get stuck for the next 100 years under the Democrat Party if we do not do something differently. So I would only yield and ask you to go into your little prayer closets and sit down and hear what I just said. And just remember, not a hair on our head moves unless God wants it to. And if I hadn't been told by Miss Arlene to get over there and listen to you, I would not be here this evening. But this is opening it up because we have got to start now. If you gentlemen continue to go in the direction of trying to heal the Republican Party, it was fractured so badly. That is exactly why we lost. Not only that,
he was never going to win. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and we've never been Romney fans here. We are working actively for a brokered convention. But the simple fact is that for independents and alternate parties to succeed, people have to be mobilized at the state level to change the ballot access rules. As they are right now, it furthers duopoly. And this is very important for people because you've got to get involved locally, and you've got to get these conservative and libertarian independents and alternate parties to take those state houses so that the rules can be changed so we can have more candidates at the federal level. People like Sam should have their say in these debates. They should have their say on the stage. They should get to campaign and then let the people decide. Excluding people is precisely why we keep getting the same crappy candidates from both parties. And so it is very important for you to get active locally. and make things happen. You know, fixing the Republican Party rules is not only possible, it's absolutely necessary, because it's either them or the Democrats. Until the states step up and change these ballot access rules so that the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, and Independents can be to have access to the national stage. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, go one way or the other, and the fact is you got to do both. It's not an either-or. It's not an exclusion here. You've got to support local independent and alternate party candidates and fix the state rules while you also work for a conservative Republican Party, because it's going to take time to get things changed. So it's a double track, and I think that's very key, because there are conservative Republicans. We've got Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Mike Lee ready to filibuster, you know, Harry Reid's bill, and then we got 16 Republican traitors. So what you got to do is oust those Republicans, and you've got to take over those state houses. And I think that the way that you do that is pressure, because ultimately none of these parties can do anything without people showing up to vote. And the Republicans have proved that they've alienated enough people that they will lose every single election from here on out, unless these rules change.
What I'm still trying to tell you is that I'm talking about an independent candidate, gentlemen. Independent candidates don't go by any rules. They come in under the Constitution of the United States of America. And if it takes getting out there in the forefront and making enough noise to where somebody finally understands what an independent candidate is, as opposed to an independent party, a Republican Party, or a Democrat Party, then we the people win, because they find someone that they can really believe is going to go in there and give them back their sovereignty, because we've got to do it now. So an independent candidate, and that is the only reason I did it that way, is because I spoke to the top third level of the Federal Election Commission, and I was not going to come in under a party. Otherwise, in the independent party, like you saw, Virgil Good and who else? Gary Johnson. They all had to go through these little rules. And after a little while, there are so many egos that are just so messed up in these parties that they can't come in to one decision, one idea.
Ever said that liberty was not messy. It always is. Sam, we're going to bring the show home, so if you want to give us your final thoughts, we really appreciate you calling in, and thank you to Arlene for giving you a shout, you know, a heads up for our show. But why don't I let you have your last words?
Yes, and I want to just thank you for giving me the courtesy of listening to me. And I listen to you, and you gentlemen are very broad. You're very profane. You know exactly what you want to do and say to get to your members and your listeners. And I would ask that someone who is listening, if they're still listening, go and check up on Sam Tittle, running since January 10th, 2009, knowing exactly what we were headed into. I would appreciate any donations, any contributions, any volunteers, whatever it takes. We are already organized, so we'll pull it all together. And, gentlemen, thank you very much, and keep up the good work. I'm Texas-born and bred, and you know how it is. We borrow a cup of sugar, we give back, too. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. All right, gentlemen, we're going to try to bring it on home, so why don't we start with Chris?
Let me take myself off mute. I didn't want to interrupt, but I kind of almost did. The thing about this conversation that I don't think she quite got what you were saying, and that is we have 465 senators and House reps and 36 governorships and state houses that are coming up for re-election in 2014 and some in 2013, like you said before. So that being said, she can't sit in all those seats. We have to get people elected, or we just sit around and complain about the Republicans and allow Obama to have a full House and Senate for the last 2 years of his presidency. That's our focus. That's our conversation. I'll worry about 2016 down the road. That's where my head's at right now. You know, it takes a lot more than one person running in 2016 to deal with the issues that we have. We have a Congress to keep and a Senate to take back. And I don't care who runs. I don't care if Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, Independents. Bring them on. We'll interview them all. We'll promote them all. But you got to be able to win. I want the Democrats to have full control of the House and Senate for two flipping years. We experienced that in 2008. Hello. That's my input.
Well, and that's why we don't talk about Obama very much on this at this point.
Oh, I never talk about Obama.
He's done.
Who?
You know, okay, he got reelected. Exactly. He got reelected. He's done. You know, he's not coming back in 2016. The thing is, if you want to win in 2016, you've got to fix the opposition party, which is the Republican Party, and you have to set it up so that it actually is presenting an opposing point of view rather than what they presented last time, which is an, oh, yes, I agree point of view. I think that's right, but I would just do it better, right? I have a management dispute with how Obama is managing things. That was the Romney argument, right? I'm a good manager. I'm a good manager. This whole thing was going to say, Obama's a bad manager. I support everything he's doing. He's just a bad manager, and I'm a good manager. Well, how did that shift?
Well, you nailed
over?
It. You nailed it right there. That was beautiful. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. I mean, but that's the case, right? I mean, if you break it down, that essentially is what the argument behind the Romney campaign was the whole time. And it doesn't work. But what they're saying is we're going to do more of the same this time. We're going to come in, we're going to basically be the wolf in sheep's clothing. The sheep's clothing is going to be the Democrat Party, and we're going to be secretly be the Republican Party, and somehow Democrats are going to vote for us. But the reality is they're not secretly the Republican Party. They're secretly the Democrat Party. You know,
secret?
And what they're trying to tell you to do is
jettison
all your principles and everything that you believe in order to win so that you can have victory. Well, what is the point of victory if it's a hollow victory? If the people who go in power do the exact same thing, they just do it in your name. That's not victory at all. That's worse. Right? Because the people you supported go in and they betray everything that you ever believed in politically. Well, what is the point of winning in that way? That's not winning. That's losing. That's your team screwing you over. But the Republican Party calls that victory. But I think you're going to call that victory. But the fact of the matter is there is an opportunity now to go through this process of fixing and reforming this party just as the Democrat Party had to go through in 2004 when they couldn't believe they lost to George Bush, right, Jr. They couldn't believe that they lost to him, and so they went through a process of, you know, digging through what was wrong with the party, and they came back with a candidate who actually could win. And they won. And now that guy's been reelected because, you know, we're the stupid party because we have stupid leadership. Well, get rid of the stupid leaders, and then we don't have to have a stupid party. We have a smart grassroots because the grassroots are the people. These are the people you're trying to get to vote for you. And as you've already seen, people didn't show up to vote for Romney. They kept shouting, I don't like Romney. I'm not voting for Romney. I don't like Romney. I'm not voting for the guy. No, I don't like him. I'm not voting for the guy. And the party was like, no, no, but in the end, you will. You will because you won't have any choice. We're just going to force this choice on you. Well, okay, how'd that work out?
How'd that work? I knew you were going to say that.
You know? I mean, maybe you should have listened.
Nice shooting, Jack. Tex, is this almost like a bad comedy show sometimes when we talk about this? Like, it can't be real.
No, it's a shitty nightmare. It's a shitty nightmare. Okay?
My God.
Look, Tex, you nailed it. And I mean, the fact is that when you say that the grassroots and the voice of the people, yes, and that's precisely why alternate parties and independents are attractive, because you have kind of more of a say and more of a direct connection with the candidate. And that's how it should be. You know, there should be more candidates, more parties, more involvement. But, you know, part of politics is having the passion and the heart of a patriot and the desire to better our life together. Not that the government is supposed to run our lives, but the government is supposed to secure the structure by which we can run our lives without molestation from the vicious plunderers and thieves in our midst, whether they be in business, government, or just on the street. That's the purpose. And so you have to have that passion. You have to have that zeal. You have to have that idealism. But, you know, you also got to be a realist. And the Constitution says some certain things. Well, most of those right now don't matter because they don't adhere to it. This cloture vote of these 16 douchebag Republican senators is proof that they're not even paying attention to the Constitution. On the other side, I mean, when they asked Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker, you know, where is that in the Constitution? Are you serious? They've completely jettisoned it. At least we have people
kind of
who respect the Constitution.
About the question.
Yeah, in the Republican Party.
What's
so
the
you know,
Constitution?
To be a realist, you know, is that you got a duopoly. So, you know, suck it up, put your big girl panties on, and understand that it's either going to be a Democrat or a Republican in the federal houses and the federal executive. That's reality. You want to change it? Good. Get off your couch, put the Cheetos down, put the remote down, okay, and change the rules by taking over your state houses with your alternate and independent candidates. And once you got that, then change the ballot access rules and then run a national candidate. I applaud your efforts. I'll support you. I'll talk about it on this show. I would give you money if I had it. Okay? It can be done. But this whole stupid idea of one or the other, you know, either you got to be a Republican or you got to go alternate party. Well, why can't we do both? Why can't we do both? Because the Republican Party is your only shot at the federal level. I don't care about the state level. I mean, not that I don't care, but do what you're going to do at the state level. Find the most conservative person that you can run, and that could be the Libertarian Party, Constitution Party, totally independent, or maybe even a Republican. But at the federal level, I mean, come on. The rules are so stacked against you. Yes, they're unconstitutional. Yes, they're illicit. Yes, they're immoral, okay? But that's the reality. You don't go into war with the situation that you want. You go into war with the situation as it is. This is what it is. Accept it, and then do your damnedest to fix it. The most important thing to do to fix it is take over the state houses and change the ballot access rules, get rid of the rigged voting machines, go back to paper write-in ballots. Until you do that, you have to fix the Republican Party rules so that we can actually have grassroots conservative movement go in there and put up candidates like Cruz and Amash and Lee and Paul. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
I might
want to coin a new phrase here, but they keep coming in and they keep, quote, fixing things. So we got to fix campaign finance. We got to fix voting in America because apparently people in Broward County are idiots and they can't tell who they're voting for, right? Even though they put this ballot out there for people to look at and vote on. Now, it doesn't surprise me that nobody actually looked at it or had any clue that they had changed the vote because nobody pays any attention to anything that's going on in politics. But they're not actually fixing things. I think they're breaking them. They keep breaking things over and over again and telling you it's a fix. But they're not fixing it. They're breaking it. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And same thing with these rules changes. Oh, well, I want to go change these rules. These were enacted in Tampa. They must be good rules, right? Well, they didn't fix the rules. They breaked them. That's what they're doing. Progressively, it's getting worse and worse, and people are going along with it because they're like, well, I could stand up and say something about this, but I don't actually know enough about it or feel enough of passion about it, or, gee, I hope that guy doesn't scowl at me as I go over to the bean dip at this RNC meeting, you know. I just want him to like me. Well, you know, gee, thanks a lot. Now Barack Obama's president because you have a shitty set of rules that elect terrible candidates that have no chance of winning the presidency. And they think, oh, my God, I lost the country.
Yeah.
You don't lose the country. You lost your freaking nerve. You could have got up and done something about it, but you didn't.
No, and as another analogy, you look at the gun control debate. The fact is that none of the information, none of the issues they're talking about have anything to do with affecting crime. And Cruz says it over and over again. Rand says it over and over again. You know, out of all these thousands of felons that try to get, you know, purchase guns and fill out the form, it's against the law to do that if you knowingly are a felon. It says right there on there. And they only prosecuted 44 of them. You go, it's broken because you're not applying the law. It's just like immigration, illegal immigration. Oh, that's not the word to use anymore. They're undocumented Democrats now. But illegal immigration, the same thing. You know, they've got a 1,500 frickin' page frickin' bill. Well, 1,500, that's 500 short of Obamacare. You don't need 15. We have laws in place. Secure the damn border. You know, I mean, it's like enforce the law, and you know, Ted Nugent, quit letting these frickin' psychopath killers out on the street. I don't know how many times I read about a guy who does some horrific crime, who's on probation or he's on bail for the last one he did.
By design.
You know,
When I saw what happened in Connecticut with that shooting, the first thing I thought was, man, there should be some kind of law against this.
Yeah, just shooting people. Yeah. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but yeah.
Or stabbing them, or throwing a rock on them, or, you know, running them over with your car, or giving them arsenic. Yeah, there should be a law against killing people by any means.
Oh, God. You know what there should be a law against?
Or jamming a forceps up the back of their head.
These psychotropic freaking drugs they're putting all these people on, these ADHD drugs that you're putting these kids on. I've researched this stuff. You wouldn't believe how many people do not even bother to read the fine print on the conditions on the small percentage.
Of course, what happens
to these people?
In the brave new world, you're not supposed to question the medication that they choose for you. Gentlemen, we could go on for hours, but we are almost half an hour in overtime, so we want to start wrapping it up. But, you know, look, the simple fact is that we have to stop letting the other side frame the argument. You know, for example, gun control.
I'm kidding.
You're not supposed to use those words. This is not a gun control bill. This is a gun restriction bill. Start using the proper terminology, quit letting the left decide it, and by the same token, quit letting the left decide the rules of the party allegedly on the right, because they're never going to work out in your favor. And I don't give a shit what they say, it's what they do that matters. When the senator stands up and says, I'm a conservative, I'm a war hero, I'm a conservative, I'm a rogue maverick, and then fucking capitulates, he's not a conservative. When a senator stands up for 13 hours to block a bill because the president wouldn't answer a question of whether he can or can't kill Americans on American soil in violation of the Fifth Amendment, that's a conservative. So you go by what they do, not what they say. I don't give a shit how nice a guy Rince Pubic is. Okay, fuck him. I don't give a shit how intelligent Karl Rove is. Fuck him too. So the very simple fact is that these people are the enemy, and you've got to make them feel your heat, because most of America agrees with you. Most of America wants limited government, low taxes, and definitely no income taxes, and wants local autonomy so that we can live our lives the way that we want. So make them feel the pressure. All right, we're going into final thoughts. So Trog, I'm going to give you your final thought, then I'm going to mute you, then I'm going to give Texas final thought, and we're going to get out of here.
Well, good show. Great. And good conversation. You know, bottom line is 2014 first, and 2013 in some states, and you need to be involved. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, 2016 will take care of itself. The mood of the country, you know, based on who gets elected in 2014, you know, do they control the House? Do they control the Senate? You know, what goes on with these 30-some governorships and 20-some states that are totally controlled by Republicans? What happens there? You know, are we going to have a couple more wars? What happens to the economy? You know, we got a huge correction coming there. So there's all these variables, you know, that are going to happen. You know, how much more change is going to occur because of Obama? What happens with Obamacare getting enacted? There's just a whole variety of things that nobody can guess how that's going to impact everybody. We know because we speculate on how terrible these decisions are, but in terms of the mood of the country, so 2016 will take care of itself. You got to get through 2014. In January, you know, coming up, Obamacare is in full motion, and that's going to put a whole set of dynamics in people's lives. So, you know, I don't worry about 2016 as much as focus. I keep, you know, it's on the top of my group. Focus, 2014 first, then we'll worry about 2016. All right, that's me.
All right, Chris, and you can find Captain Caveman on Facebook at Coalition of Freedom. And if you're not in that group, you're missing out, because this is a group that's building a coalition of people who don't necessarily agree on everything. There's a lot of Libertarian Party folk in there, Constitution Party, Independents. You know, we might even have a Democrat or two. But the idea is to build coalitions around broad areas of agreement, like, oh, I don't know, the Constitution being the supreme law of the land, local autonomy and states' authority, you know, those kinds of simple, broad topics about which you don't quibble. Every now and then people start quibbling about, you know, some nitpicky little bullshit thing, which we're not going to do anything about till we fix the larger paradigm. But Coalition of Freedom on Facebook, check it out. Thanks, Chris. Text to you for your final thoughts, and then I'll bring it home.
So I guess this is my chance to wrap it up in a bow and make it seem like some kind of overarching theme for the
the show, but realistically, I think it's pretty easy. It's just go get involved, go talk to these people, let them know what you really think. It's not that hard. And they do listen. They will listen. They may listen to you to your face and go behind the scenes and do something else, but if you allow them to do that, then that's really your fault because you're letting them do that. But the situation's fixable. I know it seems dire now, but Barack Obama really isn't the problem at the moment. The problem is, how do you have a party that can actually put up something different in 2014 and can offer something different in 2016 so that if you do have a victory, you actually have a meaningful victory that would actually change the direction of the country? Because re-election for John Boehner, that's not doing anything for anybody. That's just putting the thing in neutral and just, okay, we'll just keep coasting along this path because he's not doing anything. So you need to get involved. You need to let them know what you think. And, you know, consider running for some of these offices yourself. Get involved that way. You know, you can talk to them, but at the end of the day, if they're not listening, well, start getting people to run at a local level. Change it at the local level first. And then that filters up to the national level. Right now, the thought that you're going to get a third party at the national level, I mean, here it is 2013, third party at the national level in 2016 is pretty freaking slim. But I can tell you, pretty much across the board, wherever you talk to, Republican or Democrat, they're pretty much disgusted with the way things are going with the two parties and the establishment, the Washington way. So is there hunger out there for a third party? Yes, there is. Are the people too mind-numbed by the news to go act in a third-party manner? Yeah, pretty much they are. Whether or not that can change between now and 2016 remains to be seen, but right now I don't think it can. So the Republican Party is the best chance to have an opposition party to the Washington system, and it's up to us to change it. So I guess that's as neat a bow as I can tie it in. I don't know what that was, a square knot, whatever, ship shank, I don't know. Over to you, Rex.
All right. Thanks, Tex. Look, I'm not a shill for the Republican Party. I could care less about the Republican Party. They're only slightly above Democrats, which are slightly above paramecium as far as I'm concerned. But the very simple fact is that I'm a realist, okay? And I fully support the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, and independent candidates who believe in the Constitution. Because I think all voices should be on the table, and you win in the marketplace of ideas on your points and your ability to communicate why you will do a better job at governance than the other guys. But the rules don't work that way. I'm not saying that the Constitution permits that. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that it's moral. That's the fact, okay? For 100 years, we've been going down the road to serfdom. We're practically at the end point. And the fact is that on the national stage, it's a duopoly. So you're either going to get a Democrat, and frankly, these days they're Democrat socialists and pretty much full-on Marxists, or you're going to get a Republican. The only question is it going to be a Mitt Romney, Bob Dole, John McCain, H.W. Eat My Shorts, Bush Republican, or is it going to be a Goldwater, Ronald Reagan type Republican, you know, Coolidge maybe? You know, that's the choice. That's the reality. And, you know, suck it up and accept it. You can whine and bitch about it all day long, and that won't change anything. If you're serious about alternate parties, if you're serious about independent candidates, fix the rules. Get involved in your states. Take over your state houses and get the rules changed so that people can have an easier time getting on the ballots and that the rigged voting machines aren't screwing up the elections. That's what you have to do. Do that. I encourage you. I'll support you. In the meantime, we got to fix the rules within the Republican Party. Because these rules don't help the Republican Party. These rules don't empower the grassroots. These rules won't win elections. The only thing these rules will do is let little pissants like Prince Pubic and the people that the corporatist Keynesians that own him, okay, is run this party into the ground, give you a Democratic ascendancy for the next 40 years, and make millions of dollars in the process on your back while they screw you over by telling you what kind of light bulb you can have, what you can flush in your toilet, and what you can put in your mouth. Okay? So that's the simple fact. These rules not only can be fixed, not only must they be fixed, but the fact is that we're winning. The information from Los Angeles is that half these RNC committee people are idiots. Replace them. A third of them are probably, you know, entrenched rhinos. Oust them. And then there are some who are genuine, constitutional, conservative Republicans. Support them. Thank them. Thank Morton Blackwell. You can find him on Twitter. You can find his email. Thank him for doing what he did. This is a man who has been fighting in the Republican Party for conservatism for a very long time, and he just stood up for you, for your rights as a grassroots person who knows what's going on in politics and wants to see conservative candidates run in the Republican Party, and he was treated like crap for it. This is a man who deserves respect. This is a man who was basically kidnapped in Tampa in order to make these rules happen because he would have stood against them then. So tell him thank you. Support him so that he'll be more empowered at the next meeting. Okay? This is the work that you have to do. And all these 16 senators that voted for this cloture bill, you call their office and you tell them how unacceptable that is. And you call these committee people and you hammer them and you go to the meetings and you replace them. Very simple. People like Mark Willis need your support. People like Morton Blackwell need your support. People like Rince Pubic and whatever her name is, Ada Fisher or whatever from North Carolina who didn't even know what the rules were, dispatch her. She's useless. Don't be polite anymore. Get angry. This is your country we're talking about, not saving the Republican Party. The Republican Party is merely a means to an end. It is the means to get conservative people in office, people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Justin Amash, people that are actually standing up and saying, hey, this is wrong. Hey, we don't have this kind of money. Hey, you can't do this within the constitutional framework. That's what you need. And if you want this thing to be all tied up in a bow and nice and polite and pleasant and, you know, screw that. Liberty is messy, and we are in a, not a shooting war, but in an ideological war right now for the heart and soul of this country. So get involved. Make it happen and get other people involved. That's the most important thing. Don't try to necessarily convert somebody who's a full-on rhino or a full-on Democrat, but half the people in this country don't vote. Go get them involved. Tell them that they can fix it. Very simple fact is that in 2014, you've got a lot of elections. In 2013, you've got New Jersey and Virginia. If you want to see this country go back the right way, if you want to see lower taxes, if you want to see fiscal sanity before the dollar collapses and we end up replacing it with something that's even worse, then you've got to get involved now. And 2014 is literally around the corner. We've only got till September 2014 to change these stupid rules. Chicago is the next meeting, and you need to start hammering these committee people now. So go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. Hit like, and you'll get notifications in your news feed. I also have links to all the clips we use and articles there and information about how to contact the Republican committee people. Get involved. Make it happen. And be optimistic, because the fact is that our ideas are right, that we're winning. All we need to do is wake up the sleeping giant that is patriotic America and get them involved. The situation is not hopeless. The situation has a lot of hope, but it is up to you to make it happen. It's a lot of work ahead. There's going to be a lot of setbacks, but we were made for combat. So get busy. This is Tex and Rex signing off.
Flames of Liberty will never die.
again.